progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
Much of our current regulatory system was developed after the Great Depression.
Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson's proposals today are designed to adjust the money system, giving the government more power and making sure those who handle the loans and manipulate the money have clearer rules for how to do it. It is designed to start the debate. And critics jumped to their feet.
Critics contend the proposal fails to properly regulate the jumble of often complicated financial packages that are often blamed for the credit crisis. University of Maryland economics professor Peter Morici says the plan favors investment bankers.
They're being rewarded for essentially their bad behavior over the last several years.
But the administration downplays the need for more rules. Treasury Secretary Paulson said it would be wrong to suggest that added regulations could prevent what he described as periodic financial market stress. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. No one anticipates quick action on such a major overhaul of regulation, though Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid says it's a step in the right direction. And Democrats chairing the House and Senate banking committees say a change in regulation is clearly needed. But Democratic leaders also say none of this is as urgent as doing something right now to help people facing foreclosure.
Wall Street was up on the news today, mildly so. The Dow gained about 46 points. NASDAQ picked up about 18. Oil prices down $4 a barrel to about $101.50. There's a new way to do CPR on an adult having a heart attack. Forget about the mouth-to-mouth part. Just get your hands on the person's sternum.
We want them to push hard and fast in the center of the victim's chest.
That's Michael Sayer at Ohio State University.
We hope that by making the instructions simpler, that people will act.
The Heart Association says hands-only CPR worked just as well as the combination of compression, artificial respiration, compression, breathe for them, and that sort of thing. When there's a break from duty in Iraq, male soldiers usually head to their quarters, women to theirs. Staff Sergeant Marvin Frazier shares his tent with a woman. Two single beds shoved close together. It's okay. They're married. Both are soldiers.
You have people who are going over there for multiple deployments. And two, the military today is older than it has been in previous wars, and so you're more likely to find married troops today than you would have, say, in the Vietnam era.
So it happens, says John Pike at globalsecurity.org, more often these days. An early Picasso nude has been found. Not the model. This was one of Picasso's early paintings, done when he was about 20, and found in the bedroom of an old house in southwest England, just stacked against the wall of the house. The watercolor is called Embrace, a self-portrait of a nude Picasso in an intimate embrace with his girlfriend of the time, Odette. What's it worth? A lot. This is CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Dipstick.
You know what they say, if you want good advice, ask a dipstick.
That's what they say.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd rather go to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer when I need an oil change or anything else.
Well, I guess you want a professional opinion, huh?
Well, the dealer knows my car. You know, I'd much rather talk to them than to a drumstick.
Dipstick.
Sorry.
Genuine Ford and Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
Offer ends 4-12-08. This year, put your tax refund to good use. Turn your 1040 into Sony high-definition 1080p. Visit sony.com/1040 to find out how you can save up to $400 on a qualifying Sony Bravia HD TV. That's $400 in savings on a Sony Bravia HD TV. So handle your tax return the easy way. Choose TurboTax. Then visit sony.com/1040 to learn how you can use your tax refund and save $400 on a Sony Bravia HD TV.
A Defense Department analyst pleaded guilty today to delivering classified info to China, information about U.S. and Taiwanese military connections.
Former Defense Department analyst Greg Bergerson pled guilty to a single count of passing classified information to persons not entitled to receive it. This is far short of actual espionage, but court papers detail how Bergerson repeatedly gave a Taiwanese businessman classified information on U.S. weapon sales to Taiwan, but the businessman was actually handing it over to the Chinese government.
CBS's Stephanie Lambidakis at the Justice Department says Bergerson worked for the Defense Security Cooperation Agency and handled top-secret information. It's not nice to duct tape the four-year-old. Man and woman at a daycare center in Jasper, Texas, are charged with child endangerment for duct taping a little boy's hands and feet and dangling him over a trash bin. Police say it did quiet his disruptive behavior, but it's really not the way to do it. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your valve stem cover.
Thank you. No cameras. Hold
no, wait,
applause.
Hold on. You're a what?
A valve stem cover.
A valve stem
cover? Yeah, I cover the valve stems on your tires.
Oh.
Ah, I know your tires inside and out. Mostly out.
Well, thanks, but I'll ask my Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer about tire inflation, rotation, special offer.
Fine, then I'll just keep doing what I do best.
And that is?
Covering valve stems.
Right.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
Welcome to Chapman's Jesus.
Yes, what do you recommend today?
Well, there's a special on forgotten expenses and disorganized sales figures, but I highly recommend the lingering invoicing. Very well aged.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily deal with routine chores, like tracking sales, organizing expenses, and creating invoices, so you can get back to what you do best.
This is a cheese shop, isn't it?
Yeah.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, beaming your way from San Francisco. It's good to have you listening. It's sunny, clear, a little bit chilly around San Francisco Bay today. And based on the twitching in my nose, I can tell you we've got a lot of allergens in the air. Got a great show lined up for you. Coming up later this hour, Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan, an expert on Iraq, will join us. We're going to try to make sense of the ups and downs of the last week. The latest we've heard is that Muqtada al-Sadr has instructed his Mahdi army to go into a defensive posture. It doesn't sound like a total ceasefire, but we'll get the lowdown from Professor Cole a little bit later this hour. Also on today's program, Phil Butler returns. I'm very proud to have Dr. Phil Butler as a listener to this show. He served with John McCain first at the Naval Academy, and he has stories to tell from there. And then he likes to tell the story that John McCain joined him when he was already 2 years on at the Hanoi Hilton, receiving torture and other forms of humiliation. And Dr. Phil Butler wrote a letter that he circulated on the Internet recently saying, I won't be voting for John McCain. He'll explain coming up an hour from now. David K. Johnston writes about money and finance and taxes for the New York Times. He'll be with us in our second hour today. I'm going to ask him to try to make sense of the announcements from the Bush administration about changes to the regulatory scheme for financial institutions. From what I can tell, they amount to just cosmetics. And in fact, we may have a reorganization with even less enforcement of certain entities like investment banks and hedge funds in the future. And we'll have our free speech zone with lots of room for your calls and comments in our third hour today. You can call in at any time at 888-5-PETER-B. That number again is 888-573-8372. And you can always email me. That address is peter@peterbcollins.com. And we're standing by to see if we can locate Fred Kaplan. He writes for Slate.com, and he has a powerful new book out called Daydream Believers, How a Few Grand Ideas Wrecked American Power. And it's an interesting critique of the neocons. And if we get a hold of Fred, we'll get him to explain that to you on the program here today. And if not, well, we're going to open up the phone lines right now and talk with you as Katrina works feverishly to find Mr. Kaplan. 888-5-PETER-B. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with me. That's 888-573-8372. One of the best pieces of news that I've gotten over the last 72 hours is that Don Siegelman is not in jail.
the former Democratic governor of Alabama, whose case we have studied at some length on this program, was sentenced to 7 years in federal prison. A very murky case, and to his credit, Don Siegelman came out of prison, not with any guns blazing, but with strong critical comments of his conviction and the monkey trial that led to it, and he very clearly points fingers at Karl Rove. So that's a very interesting development, and we'll be talking hopefully Wednesday with Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. She, of course, led the charge that broke this story and brought it to our attention. And we understand that John Conyers, chair of the House Judiciary Committee, has invited former Governor Siegelman to testify about his trial and conviction and the characters who produced that event. And so this is going to be a very interesting case to follow. And I'm just delighted that finally a federal judge has overruled some of the Alabama courts and permitted his release on bail pending an appeal. Also, if you're a drinking person, you might need this little warning. The cost of an absolute with anything is probably going up. Because Pernod Ricard, the French liqueur company, yesterday agreed to acquire Absolut Vodka for more than $7 billion. That's a high price to pay for some spirits. You know, the cost about 45 cents a bottle to make. Just amazing. The deal for Van E. Sprit, which is put up for sale by the Swedish government, would end one of the most hotly contested auctions for a liquor brand in years. The losers include Diageo, Bacardi, and Fortune Brands. And you'd think that Absolut has been around for a century or two. They started it in 1979. Last year, they sold 88.8 million liters of Absolut vodka. And, of course, with all the flavors they offered in, it's kind of a gateway drug now, an Alco-Pop in some respects. But $7 billion? That is an absolute record, isn't it? 888-5, Peter B., if you'd like to call into the program. Katrina, is this a live caller I can take? Yeah? Let's see who this is. Hi, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, good afternoon. I love your show.
Well, thank you. Who's this?
This is Mike. I'm calling from Carmichael, but I can't hear you on the radio anymore.
Mike, there's been a breakdown in the delivery system.
Yes. Can you tell me what's going on, and do we have any chance of hearing you on the radio in the Sacramento area again?
Well, Mike, I'm sorry to say that we learned Friday about noontime that KSAC was moving its schedule up. They had warned us that they might change format in May. And for whatever reason, they decided to do it here on March 31st. And so, yes, they have dropped Progressive Talk, and yes, they've launched a gospel music format. And at the moment, I don't have any news for you about a new affiliate in the Sacramento area.
Well, I just get an uneasy feeling that Sacramento is now has one less progressive talk station available.
Well, it's now...
They've been dropping like flies.
It's gone from two to zero. Yeah. A year ago, you had two stations offering progressive talk shows, and now you have zero on the AM dial.
About the best we can do now in terms of political information is an independent radio station out of Nevada City.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to be able to get KPFA out of Berkeley, but due to a switcheroo in frequencies, curiously up in Nevada City, there's now a radio station in Nevada City that is sitting all over KPFA, so we can't get them either.
Uh-huh.
So I'm feeling kind of deprived here.
I bet you are. Well, I'm sorry to break the news to you, Mike, and you can stay in touch with us. There are podcasts. You can listen to the live stream online, but I don't have a way for you to listen in your car.
I understand.
All right,
thanks,
Mike,
for the scoop.
All right, good to talk to you. Appreciate
Alrighty.
The call. And we found Fred Kaplan. Hello, Fred.
Hi.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks. I have to say, I mean, nobody told me I was supposed to be on. Sorry.
Okay. Well, it happens.
Yeah.
And our people knew about it, but apparently your people didn't tell you.
I don't know. These things, you never know. They've usually been very good.
All right.
Anyway,
well,
sorry about that.
I've got a powerful music setup for you.
Okay.
I'm sure nobody else has done this for you.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Oh, I could hide beneath the wings of the bluebird as she sings. never end. What's it dream?
Fred Kaplan writes for Slate, and his new book is called Daydream Believers, With or Without Apologies to the Monkees. Oh, but Fred, I can up the ante here. I have another monkey song about Republicans. You probably haven't heard this one.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true.
I don't know what it is about Republicans.
I haven't heard that one,
yeah. Yeah, Republicans and monkeys. I'm not sure what the nexus is.
Am I the fault of this? Am I the cause of this, do you think?
Not so far.
No,
but we'll have an investigation, and maybe, you know, Lee Hamilton and Tom Kaine can get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, okay, we'll leave it to them.
I want to lift a quote out of Daydream Believers. The great divide in thinking about American foreign policy today is not so much between realists and neoconservatives. It's between realists with a small r and fantasists.
Right.
And you don't say fanaticists, you say
fantasists. People who are into fantasies.
Right. The split lies not in what is desirable over the long run, but in what is possible here and now. It's a debate not so much about what America should do as what it can do, about the limits of American power in the post-Cold War world, whether there are limits about the way the world works. So give us a minute and a half explanation of your thinking here, and define or name the fantasists in the Bush administration.
Well, just briefly, the Bush administration came into power thinking that because we'd won the Cold War, we were omnipotent, when in fact we really emerged from the Cold War in a very important way weaker than we had been before, because during the Cold War, a lot of countries that were part of the Western Alliance subordinated their own interests to ours in the interest of alliance coherence, possibly in fear of the Russian bear across the horizon because we were providing them security. When the common enemy disappeared, the common enemy, which actually had been a good part of the glue that held the alliance, a lot of our allies realized that on issues that were important to them, they could go their own way, pursue their own interests without much regard for what Washington thinks about the matter. Anybody who looked at this situation correctly would have seen that we needed to reach out more energetically to allies, that we couldn't get our way in the world. And so anybody who thought that we could just do whatever we wanted, regardless of what anybody else in the world thinks, I would consider engaging in fantasy. And in that regard, in the first administration, just about every relevant senior cabinet official except Colin Powell fits that category.
Yeah. And particularly and spectacularly, Donald Rumsfeld.
Donald Rumsfeld, but also Cheney. And let's not underestimate him, President Bush himself.
Mm-hmm. Fred, we got to take a break. When we return, I want to talk to you about a comment you make in the book. Rumsfeld did not miscalculate how many troops would be needed to stabilize Iraq. We'll get to the bottom of that one next. Fred Kaplan is with us. His new book, Daydream Believers, How a Few Grand Ideas Wrecked American Power. We'll continue in a moment. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Larry from Acme Coffee, and if, like me, you own a business and are tired of waiting through aggressive sales reps pushing you to advertise on mediocre network TV stations or stale radio broadcasters, contact KRXA 540 sales manager Larry Rathall at 394-5792. AM 540's committed listener base will help you grow your business. I know, because they're helping me grow mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices.
Let PG Liquor's knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey, regional, or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquor specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Fred Kaplan. He writes at Slate.com, the column called War Stories. His new book is out called Daydream Believers, How a Few Grand Ideas Wrecked American Power. And Fred, I teased this before the break, but you write that Donald Rumsfeld did not miscalculate how many troops would be needed to stabilize Iraq after the war, as some critics later charged. He understood the calculations all too well. Rather than ratchet up the troop levels to meet that mission, he simply sidestepped the mission. He wasn't interested in it, didn't think post-war stabilization was what a modern military, especially a transformation military, ought to be doing. He focused on the distant horizon, the impact of quick, easy victory on the image of American armed power in the long run. Now, I understand your point here, but what kind of contradicts it, Fred, is the way Rumsfeld would not allow the State Department in particular, or the United Nations at a certain stage, to help stabilize and rebuild Iraq and help form the new government. Instead, it was all done through the Pentagon, and it was his guy Bremer who made some of the biggest blunders that we continue to pay for now.
Right. Well, it does seem to be a paradox, but he wrested away control of the post-war mission from the State Department because he didn't want there to be a post-war mission. Rumsfeld's view of the military, and this has a long genesis to it, but he's the first Secretary of Defense who fully embraced it, was based on this idea that there was a revolution in military affairs, also called military transformation, that these new high-tech weapons, for example, the smart bombs that can hit targets with amazing accuracy, and computerized communication system which can give commanders a panoramic view of the battlefield, that they allowed you to win a war using very small numbers of troops. Rumsfeld's geostrategic context was this, was that he saw that in a post-Cold War world where we might not have allies and we're not going to have huge armies and there might be emerging threats in remote areas that are far away from American bases or access to American aircraft carriers, that this was going to be, that this the revolution of military affairs was going to be the way that we could maintain preeminence. And by the way, that's a word that's in Pentagon documents. It's not some lefty word. Preeminence or power projection in the decades ahead. So the idea, the whole idea of going into Iraq with a very small force was to create that impression, to tell bad guys everywhere, look what we can do with one arm tied behind our back. We can topple the, we can defeat the Iraqi army, topple Saddam Hussein. We can do it to you too. And you tell him, okay, that's fine, Mr. Secretary, but then you're going to need 300,000 or 400,000 troops staying in Iraq for 5 or 10 years to create order. That throws the whole thing off. That nullifies the whole conception. And it was the presence of Ahmad Chalabi, the Iraqi exile, who was trying to get officials to topple Saddam Hussein for the previous decade and who was very close with some of Rumsfeld's aides. Chalabi was sort of the instrument of that allowed continued denial, that to the extent Rumsfeld thought at all about post-war Iraq, he could convince himself, oh, well, there won't be any need for anything because this guy Chalabi will take control of everything. So Chalabi was closer to Wolfowitz than he was to Rumsfeld, but Rumsfeld, the presence of Chalabi allowed him to continue in this state of denial about what might happen afterwards.
And, Fred, one of the interesting little facts I learned from your book was the switcheroo in 2000 as they were getting ready for the transition, as Armitage, who'd wanted to be in the Pentagon, accepted a job under Powell at State, and Wolfowitz, who wanted to be at the State Department, accepted a deputy job under Rumsfeld.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting how, you know, you can speculate about the structural nature of history, but sometimes who is where makes a huge difference. And the original plan was that an Indiana congressman would become the Secretary of Defense. Armitage would be his deputy. Rumsfeld would be CIA director. The Indiana congressman washed out in the interview.
Who was that?
Cheney, who was vice president and an old buddy of Rumsfeld's going back 30 years, recommended Rumsfeld. He stepped in. Everybody knew that Armitage was best friends with Colin Powell. Rumsfeld didn't want a State Department spy in the Pentagon, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah. Fred, we're out of time here, but I want to invite you back for a full half hour, maybe longer, because your book has a lot more to it.
Okay, I'm sorry about the misunderstanding.
Well, I'm sorry you were the last to find out about this exclusive interview.
Oh, well.
But if you'll hold on, Katrina will reschedule with you, and we'll talk further, okay?
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Fred. That's Fred Kaplan. The new book is called Daydream Believers, and there's a lot of fascinating reporting in it. We'll continue in a moment. Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan updates us on the mess in Iraq. Next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Emerson. Whatever the demand, whatever the challenge, with Emerson, you can consider it solved. I'm Charles Osgood. The government of China has declared Tibet off-limits to foreign reporters, and it's stepping up its attacks on the exiled Dalai Lama, blaming him for stirring up the protests there. Robbie Barnett, a Tibetan scholar at Columbia University.
China is really facing something it hasn't seen in Tibet for 40 years or so. So it has to respond very urgently and try to deal with that security problem.
China's leaders want the world to be focused on the upcoming Olympic Games, not Tibet, not Darfur. But that's easier said than done, as you'll hear after this. Qatar's 25 trillion cubic meters of natural gas could be the clean-burning answer to the world's energy needs. But Qatar gas still has to get it to the world, and that's why businesses turn to Emerson. Emerson accurately predicts what world trends mean for them, so Emerson can supply the cutting-edge technologies that enable Qatar gas to precisely control four of the largest natural gas production facilities ever built. Emerson anticipates customer needs, so when they're ready, Emerson's ready. Emerson, consider it solved.
Dad was complaining about his bad hammy again.
I know. He overdid it at the gym.
That's why he uses Tiger Balm ointment, right?
Yep. Tiger Balm helps with his bad hammy, the trick knee.
And the bum shoulder.
Bum shoulder? I didn't know about a bum shoulder.
Looks like we need more Tiger Balm.
Tiger Balm ointments, rubs, and patches give long-lasting relief to you or someone you care about. Got pain? Get Tiger Balm today. Available in stores everywhere. Tiger Balm works where it hurts.
As the Olympic torch arrived in Beijing, foreign reporters like Celia Hatton were there to report.
People here seem curious about the torch relay and quite excited. The crowds here are packed right up to Tiananmen Square just to get a glimpse of the torch they've heard so much about. Here, political issues like Tibet and Darfur seem as if they're literally a world away.
Did somebody say Tibet and Darfur? Tiananmen Square is in Beijing.
The torch is arriving in Beijing before starting a two-month tour of the country. In most places, there will likely be huge cheering crowds to support the relay, though it's unclear how the Olympic torch will be received in Tibetan areas.
It's natural for reporters to be thinking of places they've been told they can't go, says Melinda Liu, president of the Foreign Correspondents Club of China.
Are you going to have an entire province under lockdown just so this torch can look nice on its way up Mount Everest? That's not really what the world is expecting here.
Yet reporters, like Celia Hatton, are focusing on what the people in Beijing think, hardly ever mentioning Tibet and Darfur.
Most people living here in the capital think the Olympics is a wonderful way to celebrate China's achievements over the past 20 years, and they're frustrated the international community is focusing on other issues, like Tibet and Darfur.
The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of these programs can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
This half hour, we turn to Professor Juan Cole at the University of Michigan. See if we can make sense of the situation in Iraq right now.
From the radio, yeah. I love a voice from the moment.
Springsteen's touring on the West Coast. I'm going to get to see him this coming Saturday night in San Jose. Looking forward to it. Joining me now is Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan. He's also president of the Global Americana Institute. And I know we have at least one podcast listener in the engineering school there at Ann Arbor. Hi, David. Professor, thanks for joining us again today.
My great pleasure.
We did invite you last week, and you were unable to join us, and I was pleased to see you pop up on the NewsHour on PBS.
Yes, actually, I came to a conference this weekend in San Francisco. It was one of the reasons it was so hectic.
Oh, well, I hope you had a good time out here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I always am pleased when PBS invites you on. I wish you were there maybe even on a weekly basis, because I feel their reporting on Iraq is really spotty. And when you come on the program, whole new ideas are introduced that, as a regular viewer, I don't see from the talking heads that they normally feature.
Well, thanks so much.
And did you have a chance to see the Frontline two-part special last week?
I did.
And what did you think of that, Professor?
Well, I think Frontline does a good job. It seems to me that some of what they had to say was less critical than it could have been. But they do interview critics of the administration. And since PBS is congressionally funded to some extent and has oversight and so forth, I think within the constraints within which they work, they do a good job.
And when you go on the NewsHour, do they give you any restrictions or ground rules, or is it just wide open?
Well, no, they don't give me restrictions or ground rules, but they do a pre-interview.
Mm-hmm.
And all shows. If you go on television, you get the pre-interview, and sometimes radio as well. But what they really want to know is what you have to say so that they can counter-program it with somebody else.
Right.
So the show is put together pretty carefully. And I think if you go off the reservation and start talking about things that you hadn't brought up before, that they would be upset.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I also want to direct people to your website, juancole.com, J-U-A-N-C-O-L-E, juancole.com. Because on a daily basis, you provide a digest of news and comment on Iraq. And as we've seen, the coverage of the problems in Basra over the last week have been spotty because we have so few American journalists in Iraq at all, and most of those are hunkered down in the green zone.
Yeah, it's a real problem. News coverage of places outside the green zone is very spotty. And it's dangerous. I mean, the New York Times actually sent a correspondent down to Basra about a year and a half ago, I think. It was Iraqi.
Mm-hmm.
And the person was killed.
Yeah. Well, it is very dangerous. And in many American minds, the southern portion of Iraq is the secure area that the British took care of and have handed over to Iraqi troops loyal to the Baghdad government. What part of that statement I just made is false, Professor?
Well, it's a relative matter. It is true that the South has been less violent than the center and north because it's a largely Shiite area, and so you haven't had that sectarian Sunni-Shiite violence going on. But where it falls down is that the Shiites in the South are organized in different clans and different parties and militias, and they're perfectly capable of fighting one another, even though they are all Shiites. And there has been a certain amount of violence between rival militias down there. And so last September in Karbala, the holy city, there were major clashes between the Badr Corps and the Mahdi Army. And so in a way, this big campaign in Basra was an extension of those rivalries.
You also pointed out on the NewsHour in very plain language that Maliki, our handpicked prime minister in Baghdad, is upset because the oil exports are being interrupted by these militia groups who actually control Basra.
Yeah, once the petroleum is refined into gasoline or kerosene, it's pretty easy to steal it. And so there's massive embezzlement and smuggling going on. And I'd hate to be a gas truck driver in Basra because apparently they just keep being hijacked. So this is costing the central government billions of dollars a year. And the petroleum income, since it's a state-owned industry, is the major source of the government's money. So when the militias steal the gasoline, they enrich themselves and they impoverish the government. Mm-hmm. So there's a reason for which any central government would want to crack down on them and claim the petroleum riches for itself.
Professor, just a quick digression on the issue of oil exports. Some protesters here in the San Francisco area a few weeks back to mark the fifth anniversary of our invasion attempted to stage a blockade of the Chevron Texaco refinery in Richmond on San Francisco Bay. And they're making the case that Iraqi oil is actually being shipped here into the United States and into California in particular and refined into gasoline. Is there any way to establish that? Because my impression was that Iraqi oil was not making it as far as these shores and is mostly being consumed by European refiners.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. The thing is, petroleum is... the petroleum market is all one market. It's a global market. So you can't actually tell where petroleum comes from. You know, when we had that boycott on the Iraqi petroleum, wasn't allowed to come to the United States, it was still coming because third parties would buy it and sell it. You know, it's like being in a bathtub. You can't segregate out the water in one corner from the rest.
Right. Well, and you can't really put realistic markers on it to say, well, this came from Iraq.
Yeah, you know, the French have that saying, the money doesn't have any smell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, petroleum does have a smell, but it's all the same all around the world.
Yeah. Now, Professor Juan Cole, what we've seen develop over the last week is remarkable in many respects, because Maliki has deployed Iraqi armed forces into southern Iraq in a direct challenge to the forces of Muqtada al-Sadr, that's the Mahdi Army, M-A-H-D-I, and the forces of the Badrs, the Badr Brigade, which is controlled by the Supreme Council. Do I have that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And in the scheme of things here, the U.S. has been essentially allying with the forces allied to Iran. And on Sunday, when some Iraqi leaders broke away and defied Maliki, they held a meeting with some Iranian counterparts just across the border. And that's where the current, I don't know if it's called a ceasefire, but stand down, apparently was developed. So we have this very unusual situation where the U.S. continues to demonize Iran. We claim, and John McCain inaccurately claimed while he was in Iraq last week, that al-Qaeda members who are Sunni were crossing into Iran, getting weapons and training, and coming back into Iraq. And, of course, Cheney and Bush keep the drumbeat up against Iran. But we're in a situation here where in order to find any kind of near-term stability in Iraq, we find ourselves allying with the Shiite forces loyal to Tehran.
That's the great irony, that the main U.S. ally, our allies in Iraq, are also closely linked to the Ayatollahs in Tehran. The U.S. has a kind of tacit marriage of convenience with Iran and Iraq. I mean, both countries wanted majority Shiite rule there. Both of the countries want Iraq to stay together as a single unit. Both of them would like to see the area return to some stability. And the major difference between Iran and Iraq, Iran and the United States with regard to Iraq policy, is over the U.S. Troop presence in Iraq. The Iranians would much prefer that the U.S. now withdraw. And, of course, the majority of the Iraqi parliament also feels this way. But the top pro-Iranian parties are happy to have the Americans stay because they feel protected that way.
Mm-hmm. So to what extent are we presiding over infighting between various Shiite groups that is mostly about turf and economics, as opposed to the larger philosophical struggles between the religious sects and ultimately who will control the central government?
Right. Well, I think that's an excellent point, that the fact that the Shiites are fighting each other in Basra demonstrates that the fights probably haven't largely been about al-Qaeda or Sunni Shiite and so forth, but they have been about local access to resources and whose ox is gored by the new system and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have the these very poor, slummy districts of Baghdad and Basra, where the Sadr movement has become very popular. It's a poor people's movement. And, you know, Iraqis are all armed to the teeth. They're like Americans. So it's easy for such movements to throw up militias. But, you know, they're militias. They're kind of like, you know, better trained, better armed Crips than Bloods. They're street gangs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it really is embarrassing that the Iraqi army, on which Bush has really placed a lot of bets, and he says we'll stand down as they stand up, couldn't subdue these street gangs.
Well, and one of the things that could occur here is if Maliki has deployed his forces prematurely and they do not stand their ground, there is the chance that, you know, there can be a major setback where it's shown that Maliki doesn't have a viable military force, can't control his own country, can't disarm these militia groups that we've described, and therefore he is going to be unveiled as even more toothless than might have been previously thought.
Yeah, there are a lot of Iraqi politicians around Maliki today who are having exactly those thoughts, and it's haunting them that, you know, what if other challengers arise now and are emboldened by their knowledge that the Iraqi military probably can't do anything very effective against them.
Mm-hmm. So what shifted over the weekend, Professor Cole, and who's in the more powerful position here? Has Muqtada al-Sadr, by not quite calling a ceasefire, but essentially saying don't attack political offices, and offering a kind of oblique call to support, I'm trying to look at it here, we announce our innocence from anyone who carries the weapon and target the government and services apparatus and establishments and parties' offices. So that's a convoluted way of saying that we don't support attacks on official government installations. But it seems, as you point out, that Sadr left some wiggle room there, which is to say they can respond when attacked.
Absolutely. And what seems to be happening today is that the government has backed off. So there wasn't big fighting in Basra. Shops are opening back up. I mean, more or less, Maliki is admitting defeat and calling off his troops. So the agreement seems to actually be functioning as a ceasefire. And, of course, you know, it's easy to depict the Mahdi army as the villain. They're anti-American. They're these poor gangs, and they seem like forces for disorder. But actually, as far as I can tell, they had mostly been behaving themselves, you know, or at least not behaving any worse than other party militias in Basra, had this truce. And it seems to me that al-Maliki violated it. And he also telegraphed that if the truce went on very long, the American military was hoping that the effect of the truce was to weaken the Mahdi army's ability to respond to attack,
mm-hmm.
so that they were being set up. And the thing that I worry about is that, you know, the whole idea of a truce may have been put in question if the Mahdi army feels like at the end of the 6 months they're just going to be attacked in an expectation that they got weaker. Then why would they put up with that?
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and continue with Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan. Visit his website, juancole.com. And if you have a question about the situation in Iraq right now, this is the perfect time for it. Call me at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be right back.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour as we continue with Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan. Informed Comment is his website at juancole.com, and he is president of the Global Americana Institute. Professor, over the last few days, President Bush has described this new conflict in Iraq as a defining moment. And I think that it could be, in terms that he doesn't intend, a truly defining moment. As we discussed, this conflict has shown that Maliki is a paper tiger. He issued demands that the Mahdi army disarm. And first he gave him 72 hours and then said, well, you got till April 14th. And we've seen reports from the slums of Baghdad, Sadr City, where the uniformed police officers and military, in at least a symbolic gesture, were seen turning over their weapons to militia members loyal to Sadr. And so will Maliki regain control of Sadr City, and what happens in Basra going forward?
Well, I think that what's been revealed is that al-Maliki isn't in control of anything. You know, the definition of authority is that you give an order and it's obeyed. Maliki lacks authority. He doesn't control Sadr City, which is a good half of Baghdad, population-wise. He doesn't control Basra. And, you know, one of the things that seemed obvious to me from the Iraqi reporting during the past week was that the Mahdi army probably took over a number of other cities, Nasiriyah and Kut and these these Shiite cities in the south more or less fell to anti-al-Maliki forces. Now, he may be able gradually to work back out some kind of modus vivendi with them. They might be able to avoid, you know, violence. But he just isn't in control of that country.
Mm-hmm. So is Sadr kind of the minority ruler, would you say?
Well, Sadr's got a lot of popularity. A lot of people admire him, you know. Part of what he's got is a cadre of militiamen and political devotees. But he also just has the admiration of a lot of people because he comes out and says things like, we don't want the Americans in our country forever. We want a timetable for them to get out. We don't think that the government that the Americans put in is providing us with services. We're lacking potable water, electricity, transportation, jobs. So this message that he's giving is very popular, especially in the Shiite south and the poorer areas, and a lot of Iraqis are poor. And so he is a power to be reckoned with. And the Americans have all along, mysteriously to me, completely underestimated him.
Mm-hmm.
They kept saying he didn't have very many fighters, he wasn't very influential, he's a snot-nosed kid, and so forth. And it's just not true.
Well, and in pure terms of a military occupation, if we were serious, we would have disarmed him, his militias, and those of the Badr brigades a long time ago.
Well, we just don't have the troops to disarm all those people. Sadr's Mahdi militia is widely estimated to be 60,000 persons, but I think that's an underestimate because, after all, most slum kids have access to weapons, and almost everybody could pick up a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And you send the Marines into Sadr City, it's this labyrinthine slum. They don't know where things are, who is who. They just get sniped at and get shot in the back.
Yeah.
So it's not plausible for the U.S. to disarm Iraq. There were 80 depots of munitions in Iraq, which contained 600,000 tons of explosives.
Yeah, we forgot to secure those.
Yeah, we didn't have the troops to secure them. It was impossible. We didn't know where a lot of them were.
Mm-hmm.
They were secret. And the Ba'ath Party still, I think, probably has secret depots. So the idea that you could go into a country of 28 million, which was armed to the teeth, and subdue it with, 100,000 troops, I mean, that was always ridiculous.
Yeah. Professor Dick Cheney made a visit there just before these hostilities broke out. Any connection?
Well, it's entirely possible that Cheney gave Maliki the green light or some encouragement to take on the Sadrists because, of course, Cheney wants the U.S. to remain in Iraq militarily for a good long time. You know, they talk about this model of South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
The Sadrists could well come to power in the Shiite South in the provinces if they hold provincial elections in October, as is now planned. And if the Sadrists come to power in the Shiite provinces, you know, they include the province of Baghdad itself. And if they want the U.S. out, that's going to be a real obstacle to the U.S. staying there. So Cheney can't possibly want those provincial elections to go forward in a free and fair way. And I think there was some hope. That if you disarm the Mahdi Army militia, you'll take away one support for the Sadrists in winning those elections.
Mm-hmm. Professor, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and thank you for following these issues so closely and sharing your knowledge with us.
Well, Peter, it was a great interview. Thank you.
All right, my pleasure. The pre-interview we forgot about, so we'll just have to skip that. Thank you, Professor.
Take care.
Visit his website, juancole.com. He and Dar Jamail really are the two people I respect most when you're looking for the truth about Iraq. Coming up next, Dr. Phil Butler. He served with John McCain but won't be voting for him. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A sweeping overhaul of market regulation.
This blueprint addresses complex, long-term issues.
A second female senator breaks with Hillary Clinton.
I am pleased today to announce my support for Barack Obama for president.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It's no quick fix. In fact, the blueprint unveiled today was in the works long before the current financial crisis, but it aims to make something like this less likely to happen again. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer begins our coverage.
The proposal for the broadest overhaul of the financial regulatory system since the Great Depression. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson says an outmoded system needs to be fixed.
Government has a responsibility to make sure our financial system is regulated effectively. And in this area, we can do a better job.
The plan would alter government regulation of banks, investment and mortgage firms, and the insurance industry. But it all needs congressional approval. Much of it will likely await the next president. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Initial reaction from Democrats is fairly positive. Barney Frank, who heads the House Financial Services Committee, called the proposals constructive, with more regulation clearly needed, though he's not sure the plan gives enough power to the Fed. While this kind of regulatory change will take a while to get through Congress, he and other Democrats continue pressing for more immediate action to help homeowners facing foreclosure.
Professor Michael Greenberger at the University of Maryland School of Law is disappointed in the proposals.
Secretary Paulson was thrown a curve by being in the middle of this terrible recession, so he put lipstick on a pig and gave the public what the bankers wanted and called it reform.
He says investment bankers should be forced to stop selling risky investments like mortgage-backed securities. Now this.
Wondering when it's the right time for service? Your Hummer knows. With Oil Life Monitor, OnStar Vehicle Diagnostics, and a complete service schedule in every owner's manual. And when it's time, Wrench Service Lane for an oil change, tire rotation, and a good wrench multi-point vehicle inspection.
I can't stop thinking about it.
See your Hummer Good Wrench dealer today or log on to goodwrench.com. Diagnostic capabilities vary by model. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations. Good Wrench and go. We're keeping it simple.
Hi, I'm the director of a medical center that just added Aflac to the benefits we provide for our employees. It's been a very welcome addition. With Aflac, our benefits package is more like a bundle of joy. In fact, everyone at the hospital can sleep easy knowing we have
Aflac, Aflac, Aflac.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
First it was Claire McCaskill of Missouri. Now another woman in the Senate, Minnesota's Amy Klobuchar, supports the man running against Hillary Clinton.
I'm endorsing Barack Obama because he is a new kind of leader. He speaks with a different voice. He brings a new perspective and inspires a real excitement from the American people.
Klobuchar stops short of urging Clinton to withdraw. In Meridian, Mississippi today, Republican John McCain opened what his campaign calls a Service to America tour designed to highlight his background and heritage.
I'm the son and grandson of admirals. My grandfather was an aviator, my father a submariner. They were my first heroes. And their respect for me has been one of the most lasting ambitions of my life.
He spoke near a naval airfield named for his grandfather. Housing Secretary Alfonso Jackson announced his resignation today. Some Democrats in Congress have been calling for his ouster. Jackson's been accused of steering HUD contracts to political and personal friends. President Bush says he's a strong leader and a good man. Forget what you thought you knew about CPR. Today, the American Heart Association is out with new guidelines for cardiopulmonary resuscitation, and in the case of a heart attack victim, mouth-to-mouth breathing is out. Experts believe chest compressions alone work just as well. Dr. Michael Sayre, Associate Professor of Emergency Medicine at Ohio State University, says many people who suddenly collapse haven't been getting any help.
One reason that they don't get CPR is that it's complicated in the past, so we've tried to make things simpler, and we need people to do two things, call 911 and push hard and fast in the center of the victim's chest.
The guidelines for hands-only CPR call for 100 chest compressions a minute. The governor's mansion in Des Moines, Iowa, is the apparent source of a respiratory ailment that afflicted, ironically, at least 36 associates of the American Lung Association. After attending an event at the mansion last November, they developed histoplasmosis, which is caused by airborne fungus from bird or bat droppings. There was some construction at the mansion that may have stirred things up. Everyone's been treated, but some are still recovering. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Dipstick.
You know what they say, if you want good advice, ask a dipstick.
That's what they say.
Yes.
I think I'd rather go to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer when I need an oil change or anything else.
Well, I guess you want a professional opinion, huh?
Well, the dealer knows my car. You know, I'd much rather talk to them than to a drumstick.
Dipstick.
Sorry.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
Offer ends 4-12-08. This year, put your tax refund to good use. Turn your 1040 into Sony High Definition 1080p. Visit Sony.com/1040 to find out how you can save up to $400 on a qualifying Sony Bravia HD TV. That's $400 in savings on a Sony Bravia HD TV. So handle your tax return the easy way. Choose TurboTax. Then visit Sony.com/1040 to learn how you can use your tax refund and save $400 on a Sony Bravia HD TV.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Over on cable TV, it's Biography Week on the McCain Channel, or, wait, is it McCain Week on the Biography Channel? Later this hour, David K. Johnston of the New York Times will join us to talk about the Bush administration's new regulatory schemes for Wall Street. Oh, they're beautiful, let me just tell you.
I've been in a cave for 40 days, only a spark. To light my way, I want to give out, I want to give in. This is our crime, this is our sin. But I still believe, through the pain and through the grief, through the lies, through the storm, through the cries.
Returning to our program today, a retired naval commander, Dr. Phil Butler. Phil, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, Peter B. It's good to be back and to talk with you again.
Well, I always enjoy talking with you, and I want to thank you for sending me a copy of a letter or a document that you issued last week about why you're not going to vote for John McCain. And in it, you described, for me the first time, some of the antics that you observed as you were members of the same class of midshipmen at the U.S. Naval Academy at Annapolis. And John McCain is going back to Annapolis this week for some photo ops to work on his presidential image. And if you were able to contribute some YouTube-style videos, and I know you didn't have a video camera when you were a plebe, What would you be able to show us?
Well, life is always stranger than fiction, and I never in my wildest dreams would have predicted that the crazy guy who lived across the hall from me at the Naval Academy would one day be a senator and a candidate for president of the United States. Actually, John was in the class of 1958, and I graduated in the class of 1961. So I had the dubious honor of being a plebe, or fourth classman, with my two roommates, directly across the hall from John McCain, who was a first classman, and his roommate. So I got to see firsthand a lot of the crazy antics that he did in those days, and managing to graduate fifth from the bottom of his class, and the word was out even in those days, even amongst the plebes and everybody, that John would never have graduated had it not been for the fact that his father and grandfather were Naval Academy graduates, and both of them admirals. His grandfather was a naval aviator, mm-hmm. like John became, and his father was a submariner who actually was commander of the Pacific Fleet at the time John was a POW.
All right. Now, tell us a little bit about the night you went over the wall there at the Naval Academy.
Well, I have to actually chalk that up as some good leadership on John's part, because he had me, I could never figure out at the time why he was doing it, but he had me on a come around, as it was called, when upperclassmen would make plebes come into their rooms and brace up against the wall. He had me on a come around for midnight, which of course everybody's asleep at that time, but I did what I was told, and he led me down through Bancroft Hall and out into the yard in the dark of night to a place where the wall was only about 5 feet high, and over it he went, and I followed, and we made our way to a taxi cab that was waiting for John out there, got into the cab, and drove off to a bar someplace 7 miles or so away from the Naval Academy, and then back, and John was just constantly doing stuff like that his entire time there, and he was constantly on restriction his first class year. And like I say, I'm sure if he'd have been had a normal background, he probably would have been gone sometime that year. But he did in fact make it out. But another thing that was quite apparent back in that day, with the things that went on across the hall, was he really had an explosive temper, and he was always in huge fights with his roommate and other classmates and people that were very, very verbal and very loud and would explode into the passageway there from time to time. And, of course, I know that to this day he has, kept that explosive temper, and many of his colleagues, congressmen and fellow senators and representatives and people in Washington have experienced it firsthand.
Now, can you give me an example of him flying off the handle back there at the Naval Academy? Because a lot of people attribute it to what he endured as a POW. And, of course, you have even more experience. You were there two-plus years longer than John was, and you endured more torture.
Yeah, people always ask me the wrong question. They always ask me if I was a POW with John McCain, and of course my answer to that is no. John McCain was a POW with me, because we had our seniority and time there, and I got there in April of 65, and he got there in September of 67, 2.5 years later. But back when we were midshipmen, he had a roommate whose name I recall well and know, but I'll just leave it out just for purposes, I guess, of whatever. But anyway, he would constantly get into fights with his roommate, and his roommate would come thundering out of the room and go down the hall to a room where a couple of other first classmen lived, and he'd take his bedding and his clothes and run down there and to get away from John. And then after a while, when John would cool off, he'd go down and get his roommate back again and say he was sorry and hug him and so forth, for exploding in anger at him. And this would just go on all the time, this kind of stuff. It was like a constant lovers' quarrel going on between these two guys across the hall from me. Of course, we plebes across the hall were wide-eyed and all ears and watching all of this mm-hmm. stuff going on.
Dr. Phil Butler is with us. He served in the Navy and was there at Annapolis when John McCain was attending. You're hearing some of his first-person accounts. And as he told us, he also spent more than 2 years longer than John McCain in custody and being tortured in Hanoi. And one of the questions you ask and answer in this letter, Phil, is, was he tortured for 5 years? And the answer to that is technically no.
Yeah, no, he was not. In fact, the torture and bad treatment really began in 1965 and ended on September the 9th of 1969, which is the day that Ho Chi Minh died and a new regime took over, and they decided it would be better to give us better fair food, rudimentary medical care, and not beat up on us because we would be more valuable to, at the end of the war, to trade in for real estate, which of course they did. And they, you know, the U.S. got their POWs back, and the Vietnamese got their country, and I think that was a wonderful trade myself.
I bet, yeah.
But at any rate, John was there for 2 years during the bad treatment period, and many of us, several hundred of us, were there longer. As I said, I experienced the bad treatment for 4.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what one of the things that really bothers me is John allows the his handlers and his people who promote his campaign to promote this heroic POW, you know, image. And there were over 600 of us there who performed equally as well as POWs. It's maybe sometimes put up that John McCain got a Silver Star and a Purple Heart, and in fact, with some 600 of us POWs among us, we have a tally now. There were 590 Silver Stars awarded.
Mm-hmm. So
going up
all
the line,
but excuse me, Phil, but all of
awarded.
Then all but 10 of the POWs in Hanoi received Silver Stars.
No, actually, some of us got two.
Oh, okay, I see.
So, but at any rate, and Bronze Stars, there were 958 Bronze Stars and 1,200 Purple Hearts that were awarded, you know, during our time there. So John was performed with courage and tenacity, but he was one among many,
mm-hmm.
And the media makes him out to be the hero of the Vietnam War, which is just absolutely not the truth at all.
And would you be comfortable if he wanted to, over the course of this campaign, try to express that, to say, hey, I was one of 600, and we all did our duty?
That would be, that would certainly be more honest. That would be straight talk express, but that has not been forthcoming.
Mm-hmm.
That's why that, among other things, of course, all of his stances, his policy stances, and the way he sees politics in the world are really very different from his so-called straight talk express. He's a really very, very militant neoconservative guy, and it just makes me crazy to hear people that I know say, well, I don't know whether to choose between Obama or McCain or Clinton or McCain, when the difference is just like a universe apart.
Yeah, I mean, he is occasionally a maverick. He is almost never a moderate. And yet, because of the maverick, a lot of people in the media portray him as some sort of a moderate Republican.
Right. Well, he really allied himself with Lieberman, with Senator Lieberman, and also with Vice President Cheney, and these guys were the ones who engineered the most recent escalation of a year ago in January of 130,000 to 150,000 new troops in Iraq. So John McCain is a very aggressive military guy who believes in projecting U.S. power into other parts of the world. He's not bashful about that at all. His foreign policy notion is to create a League of Democracies, which would be basically a way of short-circuiting the United Nations, and so he very much believes in naval and U.S. Supremacy throughout the world, and he is neoconservative in his philosophy of projecting power. I think he bought hook, line, and sinker the U.S. Naval Academy Sea Power philosophy and training that we received there.
We're going to take a break and return with Dr. Phil Butler. As you heard, he was at the Naval Academy with John McCain and also spent more than 2.5 years longer than McCain imprisoned in Hanoi, North Vietnam. If you have a question, Dr. Phil Butler is with us till the bottom of the hour. Call me now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off with a new problem just coming in. Holahan Road at Green Valley Road in Santa Cruz County. 3 to 4 cars, and that is blocking the roadway. Be prepared for delays there. Santa Cruz southbound 17 before Pasatiempo Drive. It's a big tarp. That's in the left-hand lane. Drive with caution. And we had reports of an earlier crash in Santa Cruz County southbound 1 before Buena Vista Drive. Two separate crashes there. 2 to 3 cars reportedly in the lanes, now cleared to the center divide. Also a separate crash 10 feet up an embankment. A couple of road signs may have been taken down as well. You'll see CHP on the scene, and traffic at one point backed up from Marmonte Avenue. This report is brought to you by Mutual of Omaha. Mutual of Omaha, they have the insurance and financial services to help you prepare for whatever tomorrow holds. Mutual of Omaha, begin today. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 23 minutes after the hour. My guest, Dr. Phil Butler. He lives in the Monterey area, and he has written a powerful letter about his experiences at the Naval Academy with John McCain and also as co-prisoners in North Vietnam. Of course, as we mentioned, Phil Butler was there much longer than John McCain. And, Phil, what do you ascribe your mental health, too? I've met you once or twice and talked to you on a number of occasions, and I find you to be very rational and balanced, and you don't at least vividly exhibit any symptoms from the stress and the torture that you endured in North Vietnam.
Well, I think most of us Vietnam POWs came out whole because we supported each other during our experience. And as I've said to people many times, being a prisoner of war is not an individual sport. It's a team sport. And so we actually supported each other and kept each other sane, and even formed our Vietnam Prisoner of War organization before we left there, an organization called NAM POWs, which exists to this day. There's about 500, 400 or 500 of us, I guess, still alive in this organization. But that's what I attribute it to, is the power of the team and the power of, you know, with your colleagues.
And was he a team player at the Hanoi Hilton?
Yes, he was. Absolutely. He was a team player, and his roommate especially was a team player. John owes his life to his roommate, who took care of him, who fed him when he had two broken arms, who bathed him, and took care of all of his needs, and nursed him, and actually kept him from dying. Mm-hmm. So, and that was the case many times. That was the case there.
And what about this early release concept?
Well, this early release concept is a thing that, again, his campaign has put up to be a big deal for John. John was offered by the Vietnamese, offered a so-called early release, but in fact, a whole lot of us were offered and refused early release. It meant speaking out against your country and lying about your treatment to the press. You had to admit that the U.S. was criminal and that our treatment there by these people was lenient and humane. So all of us refused this offer, and besides that, we were bound by our service regulations, Geneva Conventions, and our loyalties to each other to refuse early release until all the POWs were released. And the important thing was that the sick and wounded were to be released first.
Mm-hmm.
So this was not unusual. There were many of us who were, you know, in the process of being propagandized, offered this so-called gigantic good deal of early release, and John was one of many who was offered that refused.
Deborah in Carmel, join us. It's Peter B. Collins and Dr. Phil Butler.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Dr. Butler, I saw John McCain's mother interviewed on C-SPAN within the last couple of months, and she obviously adored her husband, Jack, John's father, who, as an admiral, she explained, for about a year and a half, while John was a POW, was basically in charge of everything in Vietnam. And she indicated that, yes, the early release and blah, blah, and they could have done that, but they couldn't for a variety of reasons. And then she went on to explain how, on purpose, neither she nor her husband ever communicated in any fashion with John when he was a POW. So I guess it's basically two questions. Were you and other POWs able to communicate through the Red Cross with family and friends? And how unusual was it for no communication to occur? And
okay, good questions. We got 30 seconds. Go ahead, Phil.
There was no Red Cross. There was no Geneva Conventions. There was no communication with families. None of that was allowed. We were treated as criminals. We were denied any privileges that we would have gotten as prisoners of war under the Geneva Conventions. And John was just the same as everybody else. His family could not communicate with him any more than my family could communicate with me.
Dr. Phil Butler, thanks for talking with us. Thanks for the straight talk.
You're welcome.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A lie that was even dumber than you thought. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. I went snowshoeing over the weekend while the ski area nearby was doing avalanche control with that little howitzer they have. You know what that means? That's right. I went snowshoeing while under artillery fire. Let's see Mrs. Clinton match that. And thanks to that near-death experience, I finally realized what made her sniper fire lie especially dumb. I went back and read the original coverage of her trip to Bosnia, New York Times, December 23, 1997. The article talked about the reason the president and first lady were there. It had included this line, that the president, quote, was greeted affectionately and even tearfully today by Bosnians, grateful to him for committing American troops to end the four-year war and sustain the peace. Now listen to those words. We didn't appreciate it then, but here was an American president visiting a Muslim area under American occupation and being greeted affectionately. You see, what Mrs. Clinton should have said in her speech is, of course I didn't have to duck, because back in those days, Muslims liked us. They wanted us there. And they proved it by not shooting at me. She could have pointed out that 5 years after we liberated the supposedly grateful people of Iraq, when Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney visit, they would have to duck, except that instead they just sneak in unannounced. Mrs. Clinton was so determined to prove her courage that she missed the real story. A story that might have helped her campaign. That when her husband was president, a president and a first lady could enter a Muslim country under U.S. occupation without ducking. They could enter standing tall. Now this.
So, when do you think we can start drywalling?
Well, once we lay down these nagging paycheck calculations, we can put up those payroll deductions and start pouring the tax levies.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why so many businesses nationwide rely on QuickBooks Payroll to easily handle creating paychecks, calculating payroll deductions, and preparing tax filings, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a contractor.
For over 10 years.
QuickBooks Payroll. Get back to business. Learn more at quickbooks.com/payroll.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, this is Cynthia from Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel, and we have something new, a unique opportunity to give yourself or someone special the gift of consultation with nationally respected life coach and career mentor, Raymond Davi. Paul and I know firsthand the empowerment Ray has to offer. Discover how changes can propel you where you want to go in the areas of personal and career growth or planning goals for ongoing success, as well as insights for your work-life balance. Don't hesitate. Call and reserve your 90-minute appointment or purchase a gift certificate now. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey and Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
And it's time for the Heck of a Job chorus to line up and salute another departing member of the Bush administration. Heck of a job, Alfonso. Yes, embattled HUD secretary, that's Housing and Urban Development, Alfonso R. Jackson, has resigned. And he got some hot water connected to the OJs, singing this song right here called For the Love of Money. Kenny Gamble was an OJ who wrote a lot of these powerful hits that came out of Philadelphia in the 1970s. And he's got so many music megabucks that he invests in various development deals. And he apparently was getting some help from his friend, Alfonso Jackson. There are other deals that came up, too, involving contracts in the Virgin Islands and New Orleans. But heck of a job, Alfonso. Now you can go and spend more time with your lawyers. Joining me today is David K. Johnston, who writes for the New York Times. His most recent book is called Free Lunch, How the Wealthiest Americans Enrich Themselves at Government Expense and Stick You with the Bill. David, welcome back to our program.
Well, thank you for having me on, Peter.
I needed some help, and I thought of you because I'm trying to understand the Bush administration's proposals to re-regulate the actions on Wall Street and to try to bring under control investment banks and hedge funds, which are not very well supervised or regulated by our government these days. But from what I'm hearing, the scheme proposed is really nothing more than kind of moving the organizational chart around a little bit and doesn't include any new enforcement powers. What's your take?
Well, that's exactly right. First of all, it's unlikely that the lame duck president will get anything like this through Congress. But more importantly, the Bush administration is very opposed to regulation. And one of the reasons we're in this mess we are, this credit crunch, is that they rejected any kind of calls for modest regulation that would say to the investment banks, you know, you need to play by some of the same rules as other kinds of investment institutions. So I don't expect you'll see this go anywhere. That doesn't mean we won't see some kind of regulatory reform, but one of the key steps in regulatory reform would be actually having some more cops on the beat.
But don't you think we're going to wind up with is some commission of retired officials and former members of Congress who will meet and deliver a report 18 months from now that will never be implemented?
Don't know. I think that this credit crunch and liquidity problems have really scared a lot of people who are in finance. And they recognize that what we have done, what Wall Street has done, is it has come up with ways to separate reward from risk and responsibility from reward so that you can make big profits without being responsible and with very little risk to you. I also think that an enormous number of people in the finance community have a bad taste in their mouths from the idea that an investment bank, the guys at Bear Stearns, should get a bailout from the government. I mean, it suggests that the unspoken policy of the government is no billionaire will be left behind.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what you just said there is really important because as an amateur observer here, David K. Johnston, I feel like the rules of casinos have been used on Wall Street. And what you pointed out about the separation of compensation from the risks and the losses is very important.
Yes, because it encourages risk-taking, much greater risk-taking, and risk-taking in which you and I get stuck with the bill for this. And that's a real fundamental danger. Capitalism should work that way. You make good choices, you act prudently, or you get lucky. If you take big risks, you get rich.
Mm-hmm.
You act imprudently and things go against you, guess what? You go broke, except we're not letting these guys go broke.
And David, I'm a very small-time investor. I've got a Schwab account, and it's interesting because, you know, I've got stocks and stuff that are worth X, and then it says that I can borrow on margin and that, you know, the true buying power of what I have is Y. But I learned a long time ago not to buy on margin. It's essentially a loan that can crash if the underlying stocks that collateralize it are declining in value. And yet what they offered me was the ability to leverage at less than 1-to-1. What I've heard about Bear Stearns and the Carlyle Capital Group that went down is that they were leveraged at the rate of 30-to-40-to-1, meaning that for every dollar of debt they had, they only, or for every $30 of debt they only had $1 of collateral or liquid asset or even a hard asset underlying that.
Exactly right. And in fact, we know from documents that came out when long-term capital collapsed back, I guess, in 98, a decade ago. And there was a fear then that it might bring down the whole worldwide financial system, that the partners were 250-to-1, and at least one of their financial arrangements was at 100-to-1. So if you're in the market, you've got $1 and $100 of borrowed money, or to make it simple, 99, and the stock goes up a dollar, you make $100. On the other hand, if it goes down, you're in big trouble and you may end up not being able to pay back that loan. And mm-hmm. guess what? Those loans come from your and my paychecks when we deposit them at the bank.
Mm-hmm. And so how do we get this genie back in the bottle? How do we put rationality back in these markets, David, without snuffing the life out of them?
Sure. Well, first of all, you want to have the least regulation you can that will be effective. That's rule one. But secondly, when you're dealing with financial institutions, banks, insurance companies, they're dealing with lots of other people's money. So it's not unreasonable to require some regulation, especially if you're going to have bailouts of them if they get into trouble. We have plenty of people who are capable of devising systems. One of the reasons we're in trouble right now is that Wall Street created all of these products that securitize. That is, instead of selling your mortgage that you have from one bank to another, which is what used to happen, and if you had a problem, let's say you lost your job or you got sick and you needed some forbearance so that you could make up your missing payments, say, over a year, mm-hmm. you could go to your bank and negotiate that. Now they've taken your mortgage, they've sliced and diced it into pieces, and a little piece of it is owned by this outfit and a little piece by that outfit, and nobody can act to negotiate with you. No one has the authority to deal with you, and this is a real problem that will continue unless we repair that system.
Mm-hmm. Now, securitized mortgages, this is an area that I've learned a little bit about, David, but I'm certain I could learn a whole lot more. But as I understood it initially, it seemed like a fabulous way of spreading risk. You bundle high-risk loans with lower-risk loans, and there you have a portfolio that's fairly balanced and that should be able to ride through any kind of turbulence in the credit marketplace. But,
well, I think the better example would be to think of hamburger.
Okay.
You have good hamburger, and you mix in tainted hamburger and stir it all together. You want to eat it. There's a place in the world for risky loans, and they should be treated as risky loans. And there's a place in the world for people who want to buy mortgages that are high grade, and they should be high grade mortgages. Basically, what happened is they salted the pools of good mortgages with bad ones. That's mm-hmm. part of the separation of responsibility. And the ratings agencies were completely asleep here at the switch, which has now happened again and again and again. We've had at least four major issues in the last 20 years where the bond rating agencies didn't really dig into this stuff. And the reason is they get paid by the issuers of the debt instead of the buyers of the debt.
Mm-hmm. And then the next step, too, is that some third party is hired for a fee to manage the collection of a mortgage, but they don't have the same investment with me, the consumer, that my corner banker used to have.
Exactly.
And
even if your corner banker sold the mortgage, you at least could go to somebody else who had the mortgage if you needed to negotiate with them. And for many of the loans made today, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm. So, David, as we're looking at the picture here, a coherent regulatory scheme would have to involve all of the players because almost everybody went out of bounds over the last 10 years, starting with appraisers who worked for mortgage brokers who were getting a commission on placing a mortgage, whether it was a good mortgage or a bad mortgage. So we've got appraisers, we have lenders, we have the bond rating agencies you described, we have the auditors and accounting firms who looked the other way as they saw this leveraging increase dramatically over time. And so it really seems that nobody is an innocent party here.
Absolutely. And here's the thing to keep in mind. You know, the big scandals that we had a decade ago, Tyco, WorldCom, and a couple of the others, Enron, those were scandals about corrupt executives. This is systematic failure. This is where the whole system isn't catching errors, is not noticing imprudent practices, in fact, is being driven by imprudent practices for short-term gains that are disconnected from the responsibility for those loans later. And that's fundamentally where you need to have reform, so that there is a connection is maintained between risk and reward and between reward and responsibility.
Mm-hmm. So, David, how on earth can the Federal Reserve take a regulatory role over investment banks and hedge funds and make any sense of it all?
Well, I don't think that the kind of change we're going to see at the end of the day will look anything like the proposal that was made by the administration.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen. Congress is not going to act in the less than a year that the Bush administration has to go. But this is a long-term problem. We didn't get into this problem overnight. We're not going to get out of it overnight. I frankly don't think we have seen the worst of it. There are many, many more mortgages left to reset.
Right.
We are seeing stock prices fall. Because we've lowered interest rates, a lot of capital is now moving out of the U.S. to be invested elsewhere. And we're far from out of the woods on this. How bad it'll get, I don't know, but I don't think that we're at the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So as you look at these proposals, is this just window dressing to buy time for the administration? Or do you think, for example, that Senator Dodd, who characterized the administration's plans as a wild pitch in honor of opening day today, do you think that the Democrats will come up with anything meaningful that would be acceptable to the president?
No. I mean, I don't think, Peter, there's any real chance that you'll see any real reform take place before the end of this administration. This is going to be, like the war in Iraq and a lot of other things, handed off to the next administration to deal with. And we'll see what happens. One of the key problems to keep in mind, though, is that both the Democrats and the Republicans rely very heavily on campaign contributions connected to Wall Street.
That's true.
And so earlier, when there were proposals to rein in some of the cowboy behavior on Wall Street, it was Senator Chuck Schumer, a Democrat, who stepped forward and was taking Wall Street's position. And when there was the proposal to tax the compensation of hedge fund managers so that they were taxed at the same rate as workers making comparable pay. They pay 15%. Workers at the top end pay 35% or more mm-hmm. than twice as much. Again, it was Senator Schumer and Chuck Rangel, another Democrat, he's from Harlem, who stepped in and did Wall Street's bidding.
Yeah. Yep, that's very true. We're going to take a break. David K. Johnston is with us. He writes for the New York Times, and he's published a recent book called Free Lunch, How the Wealthiest Americans Enrich Themselves at Government Expense and Stick You with the Bill. If you have a question or a comment about the problems on Wall Street and the Bush administration's response, give us a call now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA. A couple of new problems coming in here. Santa Clara County westbound 152 at Casa de Fruta Parkway. Three-car crash. It looks like one vehicle may have gone into the center divide. Unclear on the other vehicles. They may be blocking lane. CHP is definitely on the way to check up on that. For Castroville, a new accident. Castroville Boulevard at Highway 156. Two cars blocking the merge lane as you make your way from Castroville on.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eats, and will return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina, or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
Peter B. Collins Show, and our president says it's not a recession, it's just a rough patch. And could you please, pretty please, just get back to the mall and do some shopping?
Buying and selling your history. How we go about it is no mystery.
Talking with reporter David K. Johnston. The middle name is not the letter K, it's C-A-Y, to prevent confusion with another reporter, David C-A-Y Johnston. His latest book with the four-block subtitle is called Free Lunch. And David, I understand that you're about to retire from the New York Times.
Well, not retire. The Times, like many newspapers, is having to cut its news staff, and they offered buyouts to people, so I took one.
All right.
And I'm going to be devoting my time full-time to books that will be produced in tandem with documentaries.
Oh, great. And do you have a timeline, anything you care to announce, or is that premature?
I'm still negotiating deals about this, but fundamentally I want to continue examining how the American economy actually operates as opposed to our national myths about it and the nonsense our politicians say about it.
Well, David, you do a great job in explaining these complex issues to people like me who hit the wall in Econ 101. And I'm always grateful when I can get you on the phone to help me understand things.
Well, thank you for the kind words, Peter.
Andy's in the Big Apple. Welcome, Andy. You're on with David K. Johnston.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Good.
Hi, Mr. Johnston.
Hi, Peter.
Hi. I wanted to see if get your take on this. To me, this looks like a Homeland Security type model, where you bundle all these agencies together like FEMA that were doing a great job on their own, very focused, like the SEC, which was half-decent under Donaldson, good under Leavitt, which really focused on the investor. But now with Christopher Cox in there, they're basically worthless. And they're trying to roll this in to this larger Federal Reserve model, just like Homeland Security, where they lose all their enforcement capabilities. It's all about disclosure, which Christopher Cox has talked about in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And disclosure does nothing for us without a big bite of enforcement. It's kind of this is kind of a shock doctrine, Naomi Klein-type model, where things have fallen apart with Bear Stearns. And now they take this model off the shelf, and they misrepresent it, they kind of distort it, and they think this is a great thing, but it's really not. It really waters down enforcement.
Very interesting,
Andy.
Eddie,
I think you're quite right about that. The the idea that disclosure is what we need is absurd. We have lots of disclosure. There may be some areas to have more, but if you want to read the 10K of a big company like ExxonMobil, for example, you better plan to spend a week sitting down reading. And you better have a very deep knowledge of both the law and finance to understand what's in there. We have cut and cut and cut the number of cops on the beat. The SEC's fees to companies would finance, if dedicated to that, a very large workforce. And this is, in fact, you make a good point. The Homeland Security model is a good example. The agencies that we had were not badly run agencies. And to the extent that they were not barred by ideologues from doing their job, they actually were doing generally a pretty good enforcement job. But you have to believe that you can actually make government run well if you're going to have well-run government.
And Andy, I think you make a great point. I would look at the model after Enron. We created this accounting oversight board. The acronym is Peekaboo. I don't know what the full name of it is. But they do nothing, and there are five guys there making, hefty $300,000 to $400,000 a year salaries. And I haven't heard of anybody submitting to their regulation in any kind of a significant way. Thanks a lot for your call. Let's go to John in Carmel Valley. Hello, John. You're on the air.
I don't have any optimism right away about anything changing in Iraq, but I have even less on anything really changing as far as dealing with all our economic woes. And I think one of the biggest reasons is the extreme ignorance and disinterestedness of the American public. The average American, as much as they don't know about what's going on in Iraq, knows and cares even less about how the economy is really functioning. And I'll give an example. I heard a couple of years ago a very interesting and in-depth full-hour discussion about the outrageous salaries and stock options and all the crazy goings on amongst CEOs. There was not one phone call from what I would call an average American. All the indignation, and there was quite a bit, was from professionals, especially lawyers. And I think that's hugely, it was symbolic and very directly as well.
And John, I would argue that television brainwashes Americans into thinking that they could be the next overpaid CEO. So why would they want to ruin the game when they could be next? David?
Absolutely. The average American hopes to get rich in this casino world of economics, and they don't want anything to change, even if it kills them right now or even way into the future, because that might make things unpleasant once they got a pile of money.
Let's get a comment from David. Go ahead, David.
Well, this is, I suppose, in some ways an awful thing I'm about to say, but, you know, a strong dose of economic shock might wake a lot of people up to recognize how central government policy is to their economic circumstances. There's an enormous number of people who've totally tuned out to their job as citizens and to understanding that it matters how the government handles money, how it regulates, how it enforces the law, and how it designs markets and sets rules. And that's because of the relatively high level of prosperity that we've had for some good long time in this country, and perhaps a little economic shock would make some people wake up.
Well, what if that comes with all the other shocks that are lining up on the horizon? We'll be perhaps flat-out broke when we have to deal with global warming and everything else connected with it.
You know, John, you're on to my next book, which I'll have out in about 2 years.
All right, thank you, John. David, always a pleasure, and best wishes to you in your post-Times incarnation.
Well, Peter, thank you for having me.
All right, that's David K. Johnston. Pick up his latest book called Free Lunch. Coming up next, the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments welcome on the Peter B. Collins Show. Call me at 888-5-PETER-B. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers. Mm-hmm. How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It would be the biggest overhaul of financial regulation since the Great Depression. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson has unveiled a 218-page blueprint that would give the Federal Reserve much more responsibility for overseeing the markets.
It will have broad powers and the necessary corrective authorities to deal with deficiencies that pose threats to our financial stability.
This all requires congressional approval. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has the take on Capitol Hill.
Democrats in Congress are generally receptive to the idea of a major overhaul in financial regulation. Both House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Leader Harry Reid called it a good first step. But both also complain it's aimed at preventing future meltdowns. And Reid says something needs to be done about the one we're in.
They aren't going to do one simple thing to help the people who are now in foreclosure. Nothing.
Democrats are proposing expanding federal mortgage insurance to help people refinance and stay in their homes and providing money for states to buy up houses sitting empty to stop neighborhoods from deteriorating. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Work on this plan started months before the current crisis started to unfold, and the things that brought it on, says CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason, are not covered in the blueprint.
For example, there's no regulation of those complex securities that were used to dice up all those bad subprime loans and sell them off to investors. They're really at the root, the cause of this whole mortgage mess and the credit crunch. They're not addressed in this.
Chelsea Clinton, campaigning in Raleigh, North Carolina today, shut down another questioner who crossed the line.
It's none of your business.
She was asked her opinion of her mother's handling of the Monica Lewinsky affair.
I don't think you should vote for or against my mother because of my father.
Barack Obama picked up another endorsement today. Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar became the second woman in the Senate to join the Obama camp. The first was Claire McCaskill of Missouri. Critics of Housing Secretary Alfonso Jackson got their wish today. He resigned.
There come a time when one must attend diligently to personal and family matters. Now is such a time for me.
He's leaving under a cloud. He's been accused of favoring friends and political allies with HUD contracts. A Defense Department analyst arrested last month has pleaded guilty to divulging classified information. CBS News Anthony Lavadakis has details.
Along with his guilty plea, former weapons analyst Greg Bergerson admits in a statement of facts that he gave a Taiwanese businessman classified information about weapons sales to Taiwan, knowing that his actions were illegal. In fact, a transcript of FBI surveillance quotes Bergerson and the Taiwanese businessman saying they could both go to jail if discovered. Now Bergerson could face 10 years in prison when he is sentenced.
Some gains in the market today. The Dow Industrials up 46 points to 12,262. The Nasdaq 17 points higher at 2279. And the price of oil fell $4 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Hey, look at that. You got your Garmin Nubi all set up.
You betcha. It gives me Bluetooth connectivity for hands-free calling, and I've programmed it to make only right turns from now until Election Day.
Turn right in 0.2 miles.
So cool.
Sweetie, don't three right turns make one huge, long left turn?
Recalculating.
Okay, I'm dropping you off in Canada.
Follow the leader. I'm Garmin Nubi, and I approved this message.
Bluetooth not available on all models.
At Mercedes-Benz, our affordable certified pre-owned vehicles come with the rich legacy of engineering that is Mercedes-Benz. And a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, and a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity because, as a company, we have ours. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about the certified pre-owned program by Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details on warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
President Bush is spending the first night of his trip to Eastern Europe in Kiev, the capital of Ukraine. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
After a 9-hour, 4,800-mile flight, President Bush arrived in Ukraine for a 4-hour drop-by. This visit is prelude to the centerpiece of his trip, the NATO summit starting Wednesday in Bucharest, Romania. Mr. Bush wants Ukraine to be offered a map, a membership action plan for NATO membership, along with another former Soviet republic, Georgia. But Russia objects, and a few NATO members don't think Ukraine or Georgia are ready to join just yet. Mark Noller, CBS News, with the president in Kiev.
Police in Wisconsin say they feel horrible about the mistake. For a recent Crime Stoppers public service message on TV, police supplied what they said was video of a suspect using a stolen credit card. But it showed the wrong person, a woman who was doing nothing at all illegal. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Wondering when it's the right time for service? Your Hummer knows. With Oil Life Monitor, OnStar Vehicle Diagnostics, and a complete service schedule in every owner's manual. And when it's time, head down the Good Wrench service lane for an oil change, tire rotation, and a Good Wrench multi-point vehicle inspection.
I can't stop thinking about it.
See your Hummer Good Wrench dealer today or log on to GoodWrench.com. Diagnostic capabilities vary by model. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations. Good Wrench and go. We're keeping it simple.
Hi, I'm the director of a medical center that just added Aflac to the benefits we provide for our employees. It's been a very welcome addition. With Aflac, our benefits package is more like a bundle of joy. In fact, everyone at the hospital can sleep easy knowing we have...
Aflac, Aflac, Aflac.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, originating from San Francisco. And this is what we call the free speech zone. We're taking your calls right now on the telephone. We pay for the call, too. It's toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And our music of the moment is from Sir Bob Geldof and the Boomtown Rats. And this one is for my neighbor, Mary Ann. She catches the Peter B. Collins Show on the late night replay on Green 960 in San Francisco. I learned it from her groggy husband, Jim, when I saw him out at the newspaper pickup this morning. There's lots to talk about. We got an update from Professor Juan Cole about the mess in Iraq and how the United States has allied with the forces allied with Iran in attempting to subdue Muqtada al-Sadr and some of the other militant militias there, confronting our hand-picked puppet government, the Maliki government there in Baghdad. Juan Cole is very well informed and quite willing to offer a cogent analysis. If you've never been to his website, it is J-U-A-N, Juan Cole, C-O-L-E, JuanCole.com. You heard a powerful negative endorsement of John McCain from Dr. Phil Butler, who was a classmate of his at the Naval Academy and a cellmate of his. In fact, as Dr. Phil Butler often points out, he served 2.5 years longer in the torture chambers in Hanoi than John McCain did. And he offered a stunning criticism of his temperament. He said he's been angry and out of control since he was 20-something at the Naval Academy, and that the media and his handlers spin him in a way that simply is not accurate. And David K. Johnston was with us last half hour trying to help me understand the meltdown on Wall Street and the lame attempts of the Bush administration to say that they're doing something about it. I'd like to open up the phone lines in particular to anyone who attended the California Democratic Party's convention in San Jose over the weekend. There were some interesting things going on. Bill Clinton gave a talk after huddling with superdelegates and said that we should chill out, man, It's just a campaign. If you were there for that speech, I'd like to hear your comments. And also, the Democrats have a number of contenders for governor when Schwarzenegger is termed out at the end of this term. That's 2010. Bill Lockyer, the current treasurer of the state, has a $10 million campaign fund. He was planning to run for governor until Arnold got in the way with the recall. Jerry Brown, currently Attorney General of California, is talking about maybe a run for governor. He was a little indirect, but not too much. John Garamendi, who I admire and is a frequent guest on our program, the current Democratic Lieutenant Governor, made it very clear that he will be a candidate next time around for governor. And Steve Wesley, who was the also ran in the primary against Phil Angelides in the last cycle. He is an eBay millionaire and former state controller. He was there at the convention. He's an Obama supporter, and he hopes to run in 2010, too. So if you have anything to add to that, I'd love to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And I like to give out sometimes an easier question. Some people don't want to comment on the heaviest issues of the day. And I'd like to ask you about your favorite blog. I'm prompted by an article in the business section of the New York Times today, which profiles Arianna Huffington and the Huffington Post, which now has 3.7 million unique visitors per month, which puts it ahead of the Drudge Report. Isn't that nice? So I'd like to know your favorite blog or news-based website, probably progressive in orientation, and maybe there's one that I don't frequent that you might turn me on to. So if you have a favorite web destination that plays into news and politics, let us know about that this hour. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Lucian joins us now from Solana Beach in Southern California. Hi, Lucian.
How are you?
Doing okay today, and you?
Good, good. I was wondering, this is kind of a broad question. It has maybe a little bit of bearing on the California convention in San Jose, but what do you think, or what do your listeners might think about the long-term potential between establishing some kind of unconventional political or commerce relationship between the technocracy that does so well in Silicon Valley,
mm-hmm.
and which is increasingly internationalized, and, you know, the middle class in general in the United States, which, you know, seems to enjoy the technocracy's many relatively inexpensive products, but right. I think there's an alienation. I'm wondering if anyone's looking at ways to align these two vastly different forces and bring them together in some kind of new configuration.
Mm-hmm. So you're thinking of like a political party, more of a virtual political party that might be web-based. What's your sense of how to build a coalition?
Well, obviously it's about dialogue, and I think it's about bringing, you know, these vastly different parties together in some kind of a forum, and it would, you know, most likely be on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty clueless as to how any of this kind of thing can happen. I know some science fiction writers like Bruce Sterling have talked about unconventional future relationships between scientists and basically roving urban homeless people, gypsy type people, you know. I mean, I don't know if the technocracy really feels like it needs to have a relationship with the middle class beyond just a user of their products.
Well, Lucian, I think this is very interesting. I'm glad you brought it up. I'm thinking about what we were discussing with David K. Johnston and caller John just 15 minutes ago or so. The way the media brainwashes people into thinking that we could be the next overpaid CEO, the one to get really rich. And so in responding to your idea, my first thought is it kind of breaks down along class lines. And one of the interesting anomalies to me is the way that Silicon Valley has gotten away with playing fast and loose on stock options to reward top executives. And, you know, to me, if you don't book stock options, you are essentially stealing from the other shareholders. You're giving it to an overpaid CEO or other top executive, And essentially, by diluting the value of other people's shares, you're stealing that money from the people who actually put cash into that company. And the games with backdating stock options for favorable jumps in the price for somebody as they hit the strike point, these are all seen as just okay in Silicon Valley. And even Speaker Pelosi defended the unbooking, the, you know, just the widespread use of stock options to reward executives before the Enron stuff hit the fan.
So in other words, what you're saying is the any hope for that type of dialogue would be a new type of corporate structure that would use its user base to leverage, you know, a wider interactive environment that would everyone would benefit from.
Well, and I also think we have to get away from this idea that technology is primarily a way to get rich quick.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And really look at it as a way to empower the middle class, to narrow the gap between the super rich and the middle class in this country that has widened so sharply in the last few years.
Sure, and that might be in things like biofuels and all types of things like that, biotech. And
well, where I do see the promise is in the so-called green economy that people envision. In combating global warming and the factors that contribute to it, we can create a whole new economy that is based more on what we contribute than what we extract. So thank you for a provocative thought, and let's see if people want to respond to that, Lucian.
All right, thanks a bunch, Peter.
Good to hear from you. Sure. Now to George in Sacramento. Hello, George. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, Peter B.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay myself, but I heard over Mike Malloy Friday night that this station, KSAC, I think, Talk City, 1240 AM, was going to go completely gospel.
Well, as far as I can tell, they did.
Yes, they did. And I wonder seem steady, a station that seems steady, just disintegrate for no reason at all. The format disintegrate and one be replaced by one another one. That there's no reason given, of course. Their number isn't even in the phone book, as a matter of fact. It never was.
I didn't know that. I've always had the number, but I didn't ever look it up in the phone book.
No.
George, I'll tell you, it's disappointing all the way around.
Yes.
We did first learn of this in February when I received a legal notice that KSAC was terminating my affiliate agreement effective in May because they were contemplating a format change. We went to work with you, the listeners of this program and the listeners of the station in Sacramento, to try to bring new business, new advertisers and sponsors to the station.
Yes.
And I can't, you know, I've only been there once and met the people who worked there. I can't really figure out exactly what went wrong, but I do know from the general manager's comments to me that they haven't been making money and that they were propelled into a different direction. I honestly don't understand how they think that gospel music is going to be, more of a revenue generator, but I've never run a gospel music station myself. I've worked at many different radio formats. My first break was at a volunteer operator at a Christian station in Cincinnati where I grew up. But it wasn't a gospel music station. It was just a preacher station.
Yeah.
So I don't really know the inside. I've never seen the books. But I do accept what they told me, and that is that they couldn't continue because they were not able to make a viable business out of it. I think there's room for somebody else to attempt it and be successful, and I'm hoping that a station will step forward with just such a proposition.
Well, there was no one local on it either. That was a problem, too. There was no every program was from somewhere else. There, Christine Kraft, I guess, decided not to renew her contract or something. So, and she was local.
That's right.
Maybe that's part of the problem.
Yeah, it could be. Well, George, have you figured out how to listen online? You still know the number, and you're welcome to call no matter what we're talking about.
I liked your show the best, and I'm sorry I can't get it.
Okay.
But I don't have the internet, so I'll maybe
Well, we do the free speech zone every day between 5 and 6, so you're welcome to call in with your comments, and I'll be happy to hear from you.
Okay.
All right, George, thanks. All right, we'll take a break and return. More of your calls coming up. Got a line open in the free speech zone right now. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
You know you move too fast. This is Professor Mossberg, your host of the Poetry Slowdown, asking you to join me Sundays at high noon. We're talking about poetry that makes a difference, and we want to hear from KRXA listeners who think for yourselves. Our theme this month is the poetry of trees. Here's your assignment. Call in with a line you love about a tree or that makes a difference. This is a new kind of news we need. We're launching here at 5:40, Sunday, noon. Together we'll make the morning better.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Looking for ways to improve and beautify your landscape with sound environmental practices and enjoy seasonal produce from your own land? Well, Tree of Life Ecological Services offers landscaping and design to suit your specific garden needs, large or small. Contact Tree of Life Ecological Services at treeoflifees.com or call 831-566-EDEN. That's 566-3336.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and we do have one accident. It's on the Pacheco Pass, westbound 152 at Casa de Fruta Parkway. Looks like a solo vehicle may have hit the center divide. No injuries. CHP is on the scene. There will be heavy traffic as you approach the area. Otherwise, just some horses in the roadway in Salinas. Crossroad at Reese Circle, two of them strolling around the lanes. Drive with caution. Highway 68, we've had no problems so far this afternoon. 17 going through the Santa Cruz Mountains, actually northbound just before Big Moody Curve. Some metal in the right-hand lane. Otherwise, no stalls or accidents, and of course, a little bit of heavy traffic. Southbound 17 as you head on to southbound 1. Also northbound 1, the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp in Santa Cruz remains shut down for road work. That may cause delays there. This traffic report is brought to you by H&R Block. You got people. There are only 15 days left until tax deadline. Stressing out? Well, relax, because H&R Block is here for you. Call 1-800-HR-BLOCK today. You got people. Now, if you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments welcome. Any topic, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. 888-5-PETER-B. have a twisted fascination for this song. On the face of it, it's about, you know, being resilient, getting back up, picking yourself up, and taking things on when you get knocked down. But it's actually a drinking song about kissing the night away. And I thought of it because we learned that over the weekend, the Absolut Vodka brand, which a lot of people enjoy when they want to piss the night away, was sold for $7 billion. The French liqueur company Pernod Ricard picked it up. $7 billion for Absolut. And that's pissing away a lot of euros, too. But I guess they've got it to burn. We go to Ed in Aptos. Hello, Ed. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Greetings.
You're a delegate, aren't you, to the Democratic State Party?
I am indeed.
And what went on in San Jose this weekend?
Well, I miss Wesley. A lot of the convention is the Politico types getting up and blowing a lot of hot wind. After a few of them, it gets very repetitive.
Yeah, I've been to a few of these over the years, and you're right. When you have the parade of electeds up there, it can be stifling.
I think the high points for me was the Clinton speech. I'm not a Clinton fan. In fact, I'm very much against her candidacy now that she's pulled these stupid tricks and whatnot. There was as kind of a sidelight, there was somebody on, I mean, it was the Ed Schultz show, that said she was an HR or human resource person. If somebody had, you know, puts in an application for a job and they've puffed up their being, in other terms of lying about their resume,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the company later finds out about it, then they're summarily fired for lying.
That's right.
I think that, you know, blowing off the truth like the way she cavalierly did is that's grounds for disqualification, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the convention went, Clinton gave, I mean, he's, you know, if Hillary had the charisma of Bill, it would be a hell of a race, that's all I can say.
I saw the line quoted in the newspaper that he said that he'd be for Hillary even if he hadn't been married to her, that she's just the best candidate in his view.
Yeah, well, I took that with a big grain of salt.
Uh-huh. All right, so what do you think of the parade of Democrats who want to be the next governor?
Oh, I didn't see Gary. I saw Gary Mandy was the only one I saw. I guess I caught the tail end of Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave a pretty good speech. You know, he kind of gave a little lesson in history. Kind of a wild card was Willie Brown. The Williness got up, and he gave a good speech.
Oh, yeah? Was he defending Kwame Kilpatrick and his text messages?
No, he was on he was up, you know, if you will, pimping his book.
Well, he has signed on as a fundraiser for Embattled Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick.
Oh, okay.
Who is in a real pickle because he and his chief of staff were having an affair. They denied it under oath. $8 million was spent shutting up some cops who wanted to tell the truth about it, and Willie's raising money for him.
Well, he didn't speak any of that there at the convention. He stuck strictly to California politics.
Yeah. All right. I got to run to a break, Ed. Thank you for your call.
You don't want to hear anything more then, huh?
No, I think I've heard enough.
Well, there's one other thing.
Make it quick. 10 seconds.
Well, the thing, the Carol Mignon thing. She's your state senator right now, isn't she?
Yeah, and she's toast.
Well, I thought that was high point for me.
All right, Ed. Thank you very much. 888-5 Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Let me welcome you to Planet Cruise.
Well, this Friday, April 4th, it's an all-new Planet Cruise Comedy Hour with me, Richard Stockton.
And I don't just sleep in my car. I wake up in the neighborhood of my choice.
Along with comedian Bent Washburn.
I love the prospect of a mountain lion eating a billionaire. There's just something fair about that.
Ukulele Dick. The great Morgani.
Dr. Rupert Opie.
Simone Cox.
They let the players out!
Chris Magyar. Zach Friend.
All comedically capturing the spirit of Santa Cruz. And this is an all-new show, so get your tickets early.
Ooh, save $5!
At Streetlight Records and Gateway's Books.
They won't let you spray for people.
That's this Friday, April 4th at 8 p.m. at the Columba in Santa Cruz.
Planet Cruz.
You're gonna laugh your glutes off.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero & Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero & Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero & Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
He's the free speech zone, man. And you can call me. I'll even pay for the call. It's toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You can call me with a comment on any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice.
Color me your car.
Whether you're a blondie, a brunette, a redhead, or a baldy like me, call me. 888-573-8372. As you know, our affiliate in Sacramento changed format, and that means that our remaining stations, like KRXA in Monterey, KGOE in Eureka, KBBR in Coos Bay, and anybody else who's listening online, you're welcome to fill the void here. Dial in and let me know what's on your mind. You know the number. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. And speaking of Coos Bay, here's Mildred listening on KBBR. Hi, Mildred.
Hi, Peter B. Well, what I have to say is there is a relationship between Americans' lack of interest and lack of knowledge about Wall Street and high finance and all of that stuff that's going on with the deterioration of our public school systems, the deliberate dumbing down of our public school systems in terms of critical thinking and knowledge about America, knowledge about the economy and all of that from Reagan on.
But Mildred, we're teaching them abstinence. Where are your priorities?
Look, I'm a Christian. That's all bull. I'm sorry, but that's just, don't bother me with that.
Oh, okay.
It's really, really, really critical that we start looking at the chickens that are coming home to roost. I don't believe that the American people, all of them, are deliberately stupid. But the bottom line is those who say that need to understand this. If you are not taught critical thinking, if you are not taught how to form an intellectual schema or frames, and if you're not given the facts, how can you analyze what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that the government, the crooks that are in the government right now and that are running Wall Street and all of that, they count on the American public not understanding stuff, because we've been conditioned not to understand stuff. I have a master's degree. It's not in business and finance, but I can tell you I have to read a lot and keep up with stuff in order to understand what's going on. And I have all of those critical thinking tools.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the average person that's, you know, a plumber or a farmer or whatever and is not an intellectual? What about them? And if they're, you know, like 10 or 20 years younger than you and I, they don't have those tools. And, of course, they're not interested because it doesn't even get on their intellectual radar.
And, Mildred, let me take your point and take it one step further into the very practical world, because you've made an important statement here. And what we're doing in California right now is we are in the process, because of a budget shortfall, of reducing funding to K through 12, reducing funding for the higher education, including the jewel of the University of California system, plus the other array. We have the state university system, we have community colleges, and we are cutting funding. And why? We're doing it to preserve the wealth of the super rich and to preserve the integrity, I'm reaching for words here, but a promise that Arnold Schwarzenegger made that he wouldn't raise taxes. And it is so short-sighted, it benefits only a handful of people at the expense of the common good and our future. And it's a set of false choices that are routinely presented to the American people in our political discourse. And we appeal to the lower instincts that people, you know, and I'm working on my taxes right now. I don't know about you, but we're all, facing the same deadline 2 weeks from tomorrow. And it's an ugly process. It wastes a lot of our time, and it forces us to confront what kind of a year we had last year. But underneath it all is the idea that we're all supposed to be greedy, and we are all supposed to pay the absolute minimum into the state and federal treasuries, when there are many people who are capable of contributing more than their fair share, and if they did so, it is a very good investment in our future, and in particular in the education that you talked about that is at the source of the slide in America's productivity, the slide in our competitiveness with other parts of the world, and it's all part of a picture that is related to greed and to trying to maintain and expand the wealth of those who already have it.
Well, another thing related real quick is that when you have a de-emphasis on education and the value of it and all of that, people will not look at it in the long term because they're not conditioned, they're not taught, they don't see how it makes a difference. And they're really not going to see how this slide in education and the impact on our society and economy is going to show up for maybe the next generation or the generation after that, because it's a slow process. And it's pathetic. And I went to school in California all the way through college. Mm-hmm. I got my degrees there and everything. I'm a Californian. That's a transplant to Oregon. And when I heard about this terrible choice, I was sickened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mildred, thank you very much. You made a great point. I'm glad you called today. And I've got a book on its way to you.
Thank you.
Okay. Good to have you listening. John in Santa Cruz, you're next, listening on KRXA.
Yes, I am. I wanted to tell you about Scout.org, a great blog site.
You're breaking up there, John. Are you on a speakerphone?
Let's try Truthout.org.
Oh, that's clean and clear.
Yeah, I love heard about them.
Oh, sure, I love Truthout. They do a great job. In fact, do you know that they hired my former producer?
Well, good for them.
They recruited him, Matt Renner, and you may see his byline there. He writes for them two or three, four stories a week.
Yes, I see it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were talking about KSAC, I decided to look it up. There's an article from the 2002 Honolulu Star Bulletin about that same company that bought a station in Honolulu. Basically, it talks about how the owners of that company have been fined several times by the FCC. And if you want to put a little bit of conspiracy on it, pretty much I looked up some other stuff with the SEC and the FCC,
mm-hmm.
and you put a conspiracy on it, and the only reason they exist is to buy up progressive talk stations and put them out of business.
Well, I'm not sure we're talking about the same owner. What listing did you see from Honolulu?
It was Diamond Broadcasting.
Oh.
And they're owned by Legacy Communications.
Uh-huh.
And you look at all the intertwining that goes along with it. You know, I didn't have a whole lot of time to investigate the whole thing.
Uh-huh. Well, John, do me a favor. Email me what you have there, because it is news to me. I was under the impression that the only station this company owns is KSAC.
I don't think so.
They used to own an FM in Sacramento, and they sold that to Clear Channel a few years back. But I'd be happy to learn more, and that sounds very interesting.
Well, if they only own one right now, maybe the whole deal is to buy them and sell them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, send that along, and I will I'll study it. Peter@peterbcollins.com.
Sure thing.
Thank you, John. All right. Robert's in Pacifica. Welcome, Robert.
Hi, Peter. I just wanted to talk. You were last week mentioning listening to you on cell phone.
Right. Yeah, we have a new service that's up. It's called phoneshow.com, F-O-N-E. And if you go to their website, you create an account, give them your cell phone number, and then they send you emails every time we post a new clip with a link to it, and you can listen to it on your phone. It's pretty cool.
Well, they have new PDAs and unlimited plans, and I'm a little bit of an activist in some issues, and so I am looking to get one of these unlimited plans, and they have new car radios that have audio input jacks.
That's right.
So my idea is to dial in on my PDA phone to the website, and then from the audio signal coming out of my headphone jack, plug it into my my car radio input to uh-huh. audio jack and listen to it over my car stereo that way.
Well, a caller who was on three or four in front of you, Ed from Aptos,
yeah.
He's a former airline pilot, and he's got a PhD in gizmos.
Yeah.
And he told me, I can't remember the specifics, but he has a setup where he streams this program into his computer, and then that is linked to a phone bridge that goes out on a cell phone with an unlimited calling plan. And that cell phone, I can't remember if he has to call it. Anyway, he's got another cell phone he carries in his car that connects up with the cell phone at home. And all this doesn't cost him anything because of the unlimited plan. And then he cradles the phone in his car, docks that into the car stereo, and picks it up that way. So
it sounds a little bit like a Slingbox, but another situation with this is WiMAX. My provider tells me, Sprint, that in December they're coming out with a new Wi-Fi about 14 megabits per second or something, and that's going to be like a really long distance internet connection, and potentially they'll have radios, car radios. Sea Crane has an internet radio already. and which is really going to be cool because for shows like yours, anybody anywhere can just dial into your specific program and listen to it whenever they want.
Okay, but what is the bridge from the receiver to the Internet? Wi-Fi?
Yes.
Okay, but so you couldn't be driving along.
Yes. For instance, I have a laptop, and they have them now for about $500 that have solid-state hard drives, and they boot in about 15 seconds, and you buy a card, like from Sprint has them for like $60 a month. I got a deal from them anyway, but thing is that I can drive along or whatever and have it plugged in and be listening on the laptop, the same as on like a PDA, you know, like mm-hmm. You could be listening on it live on your cell phone.
Right.
Like, you know, when I call in on your program, I can listen to you live. Well, there's a small delay, mm-hmm. a couple seconds, but I'm listening to the program on your call.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, Robert,
so hang in there, folks, because technology is precedes revolution, and this is what's happened with the Internet. We're doing it for ourselves, and we're going to pull this off.
And this is the formerly postal Robert.
9/11. 89/11 Truth.org. Richard Gage sits right beside me in our bi-monthly meetings, and I'm telling you, it was never designed to be investigated as a crime, 9/11, and we have so much evidence from first responders and people that if a grand jury looks at this, the Bush administration is going to be taken straight to Guantanamo, the whole kit and caboodle.
Robert, tune in tomorrow at 4 o'clock Pacific. Kyle Hentz will be on our show from 9/11
Great.
Citizens Watch, and he has a critique of New York Times reporter Phil Shannon's new book.
Excellent.
That'll be tomorrow. And also, David Ray Griffin has a new book coming out, and we're in touch with the publisher. As soon as it hits the stands, we'll have him on the program.
Thanks for supporting the 9/11 Truth Movement, Peter, and I really appreciate your good work.
All right, good to talk to you. Now to Jake in Eureka. Welcome, Jake.
Hey, Peter B., how's it going?
Doing okay.
I'd like to bring up the latest news about the Democratic campaigns. Apparently, Hillary Clinton's campaign owes $8.7 million, whereas Barack Obama has $31 million cash on hand. Now, this is just another reason why I think it's time for Hillary Clinton's campaign to, you know, read the writing on the wall here. There's virtually no way they're going to be able to cash up to Obama in terms of pledged delegates. The superdelegates are not going to overturn the will of the voters. That's just simply not going to happen. So, really, isn't it time for Hillary Clinton to back Barack Obama and get behind the effort to defeat John McCain?
Well, you think Barack should be magnanimous and offer to help her with her debt?
I think it'd be a good idea. Apparently, he has quite enough money on hand. You know, mm-hmm. maybe that could be the deal. Just pay off her debt, and then this race would be over. We all know it really is over anyways. There's almost no chance that Hillary can actually win the nomination.
Well, Jake, I can hear you, and there are people listening to this program whose ears are working, but for some reason they cannot hear you.
Hmm.
You know what
well,
I mean?
Yeah, I hear.
It's not that they could turn up their hearing aids and it would get through, but there are a lot of partisan Democrats who simply believe that Hillary is their candidate and they can't accept that she's in second place with the liabilities that you just described. And almost any other candidate would have read that by now and either gracefully or otherwise stepped aside.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the longer Hillary Clinton keeps this up, you know, the more she's starting to look like Mike Huckabee.
Well, if Bill were here, he'd tell you, just chill out, Jake. Just chill out. Chill out.
Great show, Peter B.
Thanks, Jake. Good to hear from you. 888-5 Peter B. I've got room for another caller or two before the end of the hour. Dial in now, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA with new crash for Salinas, southbound 101 on the Baranda Road off-ramp. Two cars involved, they're both off to the side. CHP is on the way. Also in Salinas, Williams Road at Old Stage Road. Watch out for a bunch of pallets and wood debris scattered in the lanes. For Pajaro, Salinas Road at Fairway, we have an accident. Motorcycle and a truck, they're both off to the side. The good news, no injuries to report there. Kind of a strange situation going on down in King City, Pine Canyon Road. At Halone Road, we had somebody hitchhiking on the roadway there, wrapped in a sleeping bag.
apparently with no clothing on. So emergency crews on the scene that may be causing a delay as you go past the scene. This is brought to you by the California Public Utilities Commission. Call CalPhone Info at 1-800-818-5009 for free information to help you get smarter about telephone services provided by the California Public Utilities Commission. Have a great night. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm John.
And I'm John.
And we're from All Class Transportation, where we take you to your special event in style, comfort, and safety. All Class Transportation is a truly professional local luxury transportation company with over 25 years of combined managerial service, an efficient, proactive staff, trained, certified chauffeurs, and a fleet of well-maintained luxury vehicles. We are well-suited to meet and exceed your specific needs.
All Class Transportation specializes in personalized luxury transportation, including company parties, corporate events, weddings, quinceañeras. Whatever your needs, call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338. Want to know about our rates? At All Class Transportation, our service and rates are second to none, period. We are All Class Transportation, TCP 22978A. Call us at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Clinton Bill says, why don't you chill out? Now, I find this absolutely chilling. Last week, Senator Hillary Clinton went to Pittsburgh. She went to the editorial board of the newspaper there, the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. It is owned by one Richard Mellon Scaife, the man who truly was funding the vast right-wing conspiracy that she talked about at the height of the Lewinsky scandal. And yes, Richard Mellon Scaife put millions of dollars into discrediting Bill Clinton with Whitewater, Travelgate, Troopergate, Jennifer Flowers, and I'm forgetting the other one. Anyway, Hillary went in for a 90-minute interview with reporters and editors, and Richard Mellon Scaife was there. And it was at this meeting that Hillary Clinton made some critical remarks of Barack Obama over Reverend Jeremiah Wright. And Richard Mellon Scaife wrote in the Tribune Review that the senator exhibited impressive command of today's most pressing domestic and international issues. Her answers were thoughtful, well-stated, and often dead-on. Now, from any other source, I don't have much trouble with those compliments to Hillary Clinton. But this is beyond the pale. Once Hillary started running for president, Richard Mellon Scaife and his thick checkbook remained on the sidelines, surprising many who predicted he would leap at the chance to dredge up new, potentially scandalous information about her. And apparently he just hated Bill. Strange, strange bedfellows. Next, we go to Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Welcome, Joe. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yes, it is beyond the pale, and Hillary Clinton will go to any low length
to get herself elected. But you see, these little wussies like Patrick Leahy, they didn't have the guts or the cojones, if you will, to take on the Clintons back in the 90s when they were in the White House, or these other good little liberals. They didn't have the guts to take on Bill Clinton when he created the Democratic Leadership Council back in 1985. And oh, now that we got Barack Obama in the lead, we're now going to pick on Hillary. We're going to try and bully her out of the race. It is complete nonsense. And Barack Obama said he has good friends with Bill and Hillary Clinton. He has not ruled out running on the same ticket with Hillary Clinton. And I think it's also cute that you have the governor of Pennsylvania, Ed Rendell, who is one of the lead prosecutors in the racist prosecution of Mumia Abu-Jamal. But Barack Obama,
whose death sentence was set aside last week.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Something the mainstream media never talks about. They never talk about this connection with the Ed Rendell and the Mumia case. These great black leaders, Barack Obama and the ones that support him, never have anything to say about it. Quite frankly, Hillary Clinton, she has the right to stay in the race, and as big a scumbag as James Carville is, I agree with the man when he says, if you want Hillary out of the race, beat her butt. They're in Pennsylvania, Indiana, North Carolina, and Oregon. There's nothing to it but to do it. And if Brock can't do it, then just shut up about it.
All right. Thank you, Joe. He's rhyming and everything. Just amazing. Peggy's on the Central Coast. Where, Peggy?
I'm down Big Sur.
Great. Good to hear from you. What's up?
Yeah, I know Trigger's waiting for you pretty soon.
We've got a couple of minutes. Go ahead.
I had a question that keeps coming to mind, and I keep missing the chance to talk to you when you're talking to Garamendi,
mm-hmm.
Lieutenant Governor Garamendi. But I am wondering, whatever happened to the $8 or $9 billion that Enron owed this state?
We got, I think, about $1.8 billion back in a convoluted scheme from FERC. That is not a verb, FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and it's pretty much dead in the water after that. The guy who, now that you've raised this, I'll invite Bill Lockyer on the show. The state treasurer doesn't do much that's worth talking about, but Bill was a great attorney general, I felt, and he prosecuted to try to recover those monies from Enron and from the accounting firms that helped them cook the books. And basically, it's all been deflated, and you know, the steam has run out of it. We will never see that money.
Oh, rats.
Thank you, Peggy.
Thanks.
Now to Nancy in Winters. Hello, Nancy.
Hello, Peter.
How
I'm calling because I wanted to make a comment on another call, but also I just wanted to pat myself on the back and say I managed to stream you on my computer.
All right.
Yeah, so anyway, just briefly, the woman earlier had mentioned about critical thinking skills and degrees and everything, and I don't think that necessarily follows. I mean, I too have a graduate degree, but I know people who do not have degrees and have very good critical thinking skills and vice versa. So I hate to see generalizations like that. And a lot of farmers actually go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
yeah, but,
so.
But Nancy, I think her larger point is accurate, that we have many people who've been told you don't need to think about this stuff, and that by underfunding education at every level, we have sentenced ourselves to a slow growth or a rollback in, you know, what you might call the national intelligence quotient.
Oh, no, I think that education is important, but I'm just saying I don't think it necessarily has to be formal education. But, yeah, I mm-hmm. do. I think that your brain is what, you know, if you are a curious person, you know, then I think you may not necessarily go to higher education. But
well,
you,
the media
you know.
Plays a whole role.
But,
we talked about the brainwashing,
right.
But also just the way they dumb these subjects down and hammer you with partial information and
right.
false choices.
Right.
Always pro-market,
but,
of course.
Yeah. Okay. That's
all
it.
Right, Nancy, thank you very much.
Sure. Bye.
I'm Peter B. Collins. I want to thank you for listening. Thanks to Katrina Rill for producing. We'll do this again tomorrow. Meet me here.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Sometimes a drug developed to treat one condition turns out to be effective against another. A new study finds that people taking Actos for type 2 diabetes got a fringe benefit, less plaque buildup in the arteries of their hearts.
3/4 of the patients with diabetes end up dying from heart attack or stroke, and the hope is that this medication will decrease some of those heart attacks and strokes and that patients will end up living longer.
CBS News medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook. For people who do have clogged arteries, some guidance on treatment options. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has that.
A New England Journal of Medicine study finds no difference between angioplasty and coronary artery bypass surgery when it comes to rates of death, heart attack, or stroke with the first procedure.
You tend to have more need to come back for additional angioplasties,
says Duke University expert Dr. Robert Jones.
But there was no major difference in the things that would really worry patients.
He says this proves that it'd be safe and ethical to conduct studies where patients are randomly assigned to get one procedure or the other, the gold standard for medical trials. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
And for people who suffer a coronary, the American Heart Association is out with new guidelines on CPR.
We hope that by making the instructions simpler, that people will act.
Dr. Michael Sayre, a professor of emergency medicine at Ohio State, led the panel that developed the new guidelines. They eliminate mouth-to-mouth breathing in favor of constant chest compressions.
We hope that by making the instructions, we want them to push hard and fast in the center of the victim's chest.
At about 100 times a minute, but before you start, says Sayre, call 911. It's no quick fix. The overhaul of financial market regulation proposed today by Treasury Secretary Paulson is not designed to address the current economic crisis. In fact, Paulson wants to defer action until the crisis has passed.
This blueprint addresses complex, long-term issues that should not be decided in the midst of stressful situations and should not be implemented to add greater burden to a market already under strain.
More from CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason.
The Paulson plan would create 3 regulatory super cops. In addition to the Fed acting as sheriff overseeing market stability, the 5 agencies supervising the nation's banks would be merged into 1 super banking regulator. The 3rd watchdog would police business conduct to protect investors and consumers. But the plan offers no specific new regulations.
Critics say